harvest of the world will be our prize. We claim to know the secrets, the answers have been found, but how can one fool make another wise? Nothing's better than it used to be. To live and die is still a mystery. We take away and we give nothing back. We just assume it all till we lack.
No one together, no one is touching ground.
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, September 6, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, You can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by app, phone, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're in the last chapter of John, so we'll take a look at that. Gospel of John, chapter 21, I believe. Yep, chapter 21.
Chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth, and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. The end of the Gospel according to St. John.
Okay, tonight we're going to take a look at the jurist, both the petit jury and the grand jury. I updated the book. I don't know if anybody's looking at their screen, or you can open it up on your computer. Underneath People's Duty, you can come down to Handbooks, and under Handbooks, if I can get down there myself, click on Handbooks, and you should be able to open up the latest jurist handbook. Now, this was just, I redid this over the weekend, I kind of reorganized some things, got rid of some repetitiveness. There's still a couple of repetitive things in there, but I think it's necessary because it changes subject topics, and some of the things work together the same with others. But in any event, this is the latest update. I'm going to go through this. After we go through this, we're going to open. Matter of fact, I'm going to open up for a. Matter of fact, it's open right now. Q&A. Anybody has any questions or comments on this subject? I'd like to deal with that first before we move into just an open forum. So, if anybody has any questions or comments concerning this, you know, what people need to really understand is the power and the authority of the jurist. The government has no authority. No servant government, no servant judge has the power or the authority to judge in any criminal case any of the people. The people must be judged by the people without interference from a judge, without interference from a prosecutor. Of course, a prosecutor is required, of course, in a criminal case to prosecute the case. But that prosecutor has no power and no authority to advise the jury of anything, nothing at all. Matter of fact, they don't even have any business going in to see the grand jury. Only a couple of people have the power and the authority to visit the grand jury. One, of course, is the sheriff. So if anybody has a concern or anything, or if there was a criminal act and the government wanted to make that statement that there was a criminal act and produce the evidence, he is to produce that to the sheriff, and the sheriff is to take it to the jury if he decides to do that. And the jury can refuse to indict, of course, and that's the key point. The people decide, untainted, uncoerced, nothing to be taught by any civil court or civil lawyer, by any judge. The people have to judge from their hearts. And that's what common law is all about. 12 individuals considering the facts. The law is written in the hearts. They don't need anyone to tell them the law. They can see if the law has been broken. Without an injured party, there is no crime, bottom line. And there must be intent. There must be an intent in order for the crime to be a crime. So those are two major points people, I think, all too often, fail to see. I've heard of cases where intent clearly was not there, yet people have been prosecuted and put in jail and serving time. If we, the people, don't take back our courts and don't control our courts and don't be the deciders of what we'll allow or not allow our government to do, what we think is right or wrong in the cases of innocent or guilt, if we don't take that control, then the government will continue with that control, because right now they have 100% control over that. We are judged by judges. We are judged by tainted juries, juries that are under the control of the judge or a prosecutor in the sense of a grand jury to get their indictment. After all, they'll get their ham sandwich. That's an insult, by the way. It's not funny. It's worse than an insult. It proves how far away we have fallen from our way of life, our constitution, our natural law republic. We don't even recognize it. We don't correct individuals that are elected by they're not even elected by us. Well, we think they're elected, so we don't even correct the people that we think we've elected, to tell them that we're not a democracy. A democracy is just one step to an oligarchy. It's a setup. It's a fraud. Our founding fathers despised democracies. A common law republic is one that has answers to no government agent, to no agency, to no codes, no statutes, no regulations, no authorities of men. We only have to answer of our actions to a grand and then eventually maybe a petit jury. No one else. And this is liberty. This is government by consent. Either we will be tried in a court by government, trial by government, or we will be tried by the people, common law. And it's up to people to get educated, to know these things. And that's why, you know, we're working so diligently trying to get a hand in the book, you know, into the book into the hands of every sheriff. Because if they don't know the law, they're the protectors. You know, oh, the other two people, by the way, that are able to see, come to a grand jury is, of course, not only the sheriff, but the coroner and the people themselves. They have a right to address the jury at any given time. If an individual is concerned and being harassed by the government, they can go talk to the grand jury, and the grand jury can correct that and go do an investigation, see what's going on. See, it's government by consent. People don't know that. And we're prevented from seeing the jury. I know an individual who got 2 years in jail, a high-ranking individual out of the service. I forget what rank he was. And he was trying to bring information to a grand jury, ultimately about subversion. For 2 years, he tried to do this. And eventually, the prosecutor got his indictment against that individual for stalking the grand jury. Can you imagine that? Spent 2 years in jail for that. And we, the people, let that go. We allow that. Because we don't know, because we're ignorant. And until we do something about it, it's going to continue. One day it'll be you, not the other guy. Not that we don't have to think about it, because it's not us. But one day, it won't be the other guy. It'll be you. So we need to do, you know, we have government. I'm not sure. I think it was Jefferson that said this, but we don't have government by majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And if the majority that's participating doesn't take hold of our government through education, through knowledge, to control, to put our government back under the chains of the Constitution, as Jefferson said it, if we're not going to do that, then we have no republic. We only have the liberty that they will grant us. And that doesn't seem to be working too well for us lately, especially on the federal level these days. Just look what's going on. And if the people were educated, if the people knew, if the people were active, if they were responsive to what's going on, and in one accord, those who are participating decided to deal with this problem, it never would have existed. It never could have come this far. And we've almost lost it. Many people still think we have lost it. I don't believe that, but we've almost lost that. We're very close to getting it back. But the question is are we going to take it back? There's only one way. There is no other way. All right, I want to look at this book. We're going to go through this whole book. I broke this up into four parts because the book is a little lengthy. It's 38 pages. So we're going to do four parts and go through this handbook that's available up again on nationallibertyalliance.org. You can go underneath, goodness, where is that? I'll get it back over here. Yeah, you can go underneath People's Duty, come down to handbooks. Click on that, and then you'll be able to open up this page where, again, you get the Jurist Handbook, which was just updated on September 5th. That was yesterday. Finished going through this handbook and updating. And it may be updated again as time goes on. All these books might. So we'll just put a date on the latest book so you know when the latest the latest update was on the book. Okay, so on this handbook, okay, we're going to take a look at that, as I mentioned. So let's get going in part one. And at the end of this, if anybody has any questions or comments, just click star six and a one, and you'll get into the queue. And at the end, we can deal with questions on this particular subject matter. And then after that, we'll open up to, and after we go through a few other things, announcements, and see if Brent's here. And then we'll open up to an open forum. So again, the Grand Competent Jury Handbook for the Fully Informed Jurist. Okay, this is a four-part study looking into the Grand Competent Jury. Find the handbook for the Fully Informed Jurist up at nationallibertyalliance.org. You can find it under the People's Duties tab. Click on Handbooks. This was published on September 5th, 2021. And we read, "And any people that judge of and determine authoritatively for the government what are their own liberties against the government, of course, retain all their liberties they wish to enjoy." Purpose of this handbook. Purpose of this handbook will acquaint the person who has been selected to serve as common law jurist with the general nature and importance of their rules as jurist. It explains some of the terms the jurors will encounter during their service and offers some suggestions helpful to them in performing this important public service. It is intended that this handbook will, to a degree, provide a permanent record of much of the information presented in the jury orientation. Jurors are encouraged to refer to this handbook periodically throughout their service to reacquaint themselves with their duties and responsibilities. Thomas Jefferson said, "The purpose of government is to enable the people of a nation to live in safety and happiness. Government exists for the interest of the governed, not for the governors. The tax which will be paid for the purpose of education is not more than a thousandth of a part of what will be paid to kings, priests, and nobles who will rise up among us if we leave the people in ignorance. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if I think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional powers. An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all their citizens." Introduction. This handbook will remind people what they may have forgotten or what they have never learned, and to teach and prepare them to exercise their unalienable right as jurist. This is government by consent. This requires an understanding of how our natural law republic was established by the providence of nature's God and how it works. This can only be accomplished by a proper education. Therefore, this handbook will prepare the jurists with the essential principles and understanding necessary to exercise their jural duty. For further education, go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Government by consent. Under our system of government, upon the individuality and intelligence of the citizen, the state does not claim to control him or her except as his or her conduct to others, leaving him or her the sole judge as to all that affects himself or herself. Every man is independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature, also known as common law, and is not bound by any institutions formed by his fellow man without his consent. The sovereignty of the state does not reside in the persons who fill the different departments of its government, but in the people from whom the government emanated, and they may change it at their discretion. Sovereignty, then, in this country abides with the constituency and not with the agent. And this remark is true both in reference to the federal and state governments. In the United States, sovereignty resides in the people. Congress cannot invoke the sovereign powers of the people to override their will. Therefore, sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and source of the law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. And the law, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, is the definition and limitation of that power. In the preamble to our United States Constitution, we the people stated, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America, thereby ordaining the Constitution as the law of the land, as declared in Article 6, Clause 2, where we the people stated, this Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding." In Article 3, Section 2, Clause 1, we the people said, "The judicial power shall extend in all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States." In Article 1, Section 1, we the sovereign people here invested all legislative powers in Congress, and we defined that legislative powers in Article 1, Section 8. Equity. Congress wrote 57 U.S. codes that govern courts of equity, presided over by appointed or elected judges. These codes are statutes and regulations that govern government agencies and commercial activities. For example, U.S.C. Title II governs Congress. U.S.C. Title III governs the President. U.S.C. Title VI governs Homeland Security. U.S.C. Title VII governs agriculture. U.S.C. Title 10 governs the armed forces. U.S.C. Title 12 governs banks and banking. U.S.C. Title 14 governs the Coast Guard. U.S. Title 34 governs the Navy. U.S.C. Title 39 governs the Postal Service, etc. Therefore, all codes, rules, and regulations are for government authorities only, not human creators in accordance with God's laws. Law. We the people wrote the Common Law, Declaration of Independence, the foundation of all American law, where we covenanted with God, declaring, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Thereby, we the sovereign people created a republic and ordained in Article 4, Section 4, that the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive, when legislation cannot be convened, against domestic violence. A republican government is one in which the powers of the sovereignty are vested in the people and are exercised by the people, either directly or through representatives chosen by the people to whom those powers are specially designed. But the very idea that man may be compelled to hold his life or the means of living or any material right essential to enjoyment of life at the mere will of another seems to be intolerable in any country where freedom prevails, as being the essence of slavery itself. The United States is the second lawful republic in history. The first was Israel, about 1400 BC. This is why our founding fathers referred to America as New Israel. For like Israel, we the people in 1789 placed ourselves under the same law that Israel lived under, also known as common law. It is in this court of law alone where the people are judged by a jury of their peers, the people, and not by the government, whereas His majesty, nature's God, in the eye of the law is always present in all his courts, though he cannot personally distribute justice. His judges, the jury, are the mirror by which the king's image, justice, is reflected. A lawful republic receives its power from nature's God, who through our covenant with him, the Declaration of Independence, in a desire to be ruled by God and not man, blessed us with liberty and the unalienable right to have government by consent, whereas we wrote the Constitution and its capstone Bill of Rights to bind down government. And one of the ways we consent or not to government is in the courts via the grand and petit juries. Two other ways are through the committeeman and the militia. Two courts. There are two courts that operate within each courthouse. They are courts of law and courts of equity. A very simple way to tell which court you are in is if a jury of 12 has been summoned to hear the case. Then you are in a court of law. If there is a judge or no jury, you are in a court of equity. Courts of law do not have a servant judge. The people are the judge, also known as the tribunal or the jury. Courts of law have a magistrate. Since all judges are magistrates, judges may participate in the capacity of a magistrate, and they can make no judicial rulings. Magistrates are similar to a traffic cop. They keep the trial moving along in an orderly and just manner. Magistrates certify the will of the jury by processing a court order representing the will of the jury. The sheriff then executes his judgments. The magistrate, the bailiff, and all other court officers are to guard the unalienable rights of all in the courtroom, without exception. Magistrates are inferior judicial officers, such as justices of the peace and police justices, having power to issue a warrant for the arrest of a person charged with a public offense. Magistrates do not exercise their judicial functions, but is an officer clothed with power as a public civil officer entrusted with the authority to administrate and validate the will of a jury. Equity courts do not have the power to fine or incarcerate. They apply statutes, codes, and regulations that provide lawful penalties. If the charges in an equity court are criminal, then the court calls for a jury and the equity court becomes a court of law governed to some degree by legislation that applies to the accused. The petit jury must judge the case as a contract dispute, applying the codes and the regulations that the accused has agreed to abide by when they participated in the commercial or government agency activity. But the petit jury, being the sovereign of the court, has the power of jury nullification. This means that the jury can nullify a code, regulation, or statute that they think is not constitutional, or they think is too harsh, unjust, or unjust under the circumstances, or is just outright wrong. The petit jury decides the facts, the law, and the judgment to be applied. The petit jury's findings are final, and no court in the land can overturn that decision. The one exception being if evidence comes forward proving the innocence of the convicted. Here is a simple example where maxims, also known as common sense, can assist the jury after careful consideration of the facts. Let's consider statutory rape. In a state where 18 years of age is considered the age of consent. If an 18 or a 19-year-old boy is having sexual relationship with a 17-year-old consenting girl, this cannot be considered rape. In contrast, if a 45-year-old man has sexual relationship with a 16 or a 17-year-old girl, consenting or not, that would be statutory rape. Furthermore, what if this 18-year-old boy had a sexual relationship with the same girl when he was 16 or 17, and the girl then would have been 14 or 15? It's clearly not rape, because they were both were consenting, and it cannot be statutory rape, because they were both underage. And if we carry that logic forward 2 or 3 years, there could be a potential lifelong relationship, or it may have just been puppy love. There is no injured party. The parents may not be too happy about the situation, but that is for them to work out in a case like this. We need to remember that what it was like when we were going through adolescence and dating. We are all human beings, and we have different mentalities when we were adolescents. So, we must be careful how we judge. The people are the author and source of law. It is important for all Americans to understand and be convinced that the people, being the author and the source of law, have the unalienable right as jurists to judge the law as well as the facts in controversy, and to exercise their prerogative of nullification, sentencing, and to disregard instructions of the magistrate judge. It is the jury that is the final arbiter of all things, not the magistrate or the judge. If the jury is not unshackled from magistrate judge, it's not free and independent jury. This is government by consent that we established in our common law founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of American law. Any magistrate judge who forces his will upon the jury is guilty of jury tampering. It would be an absurdity for jurors to be required to accept the magistrate judge's view of the law against their own opinion, judgment, and conscience. Since natural law was thought to be accessible to the ordinary man, the theory invites each juror to inquire for himself whether a particular rule of law was consonant with the principles of a higher law. We the people, in the writing of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution, also known as the law of the land, clearly established that the people ordained the law, and therefore are the authors of the law, placing the people above the Constitution, while all our government servants are under the Constitution. We the people ordained in Article 4's Full Faith and Credit Clause, where the laws and processes of the states are to be harmonious, and if one state has a law that favors the people, it must be accepted as laws in the other states, whether such a law exists or not. U.S. Constitution Article 4, Section 1, Full Faith and Credit, shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. And the Congress may, by general laws, prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be approved, and the effect thereof. Section 2. The citizens of each state shall be entitled to all the privileges and immunities of the citizens of the several states. We the people ordained the Supremacy Clause, establishing that any law, including a state constitution, that conflicts with the U.S. Constitution, and the U.S. Constitution is to prevail. U.S. Constitution, Article 6, Clause 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all the treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or the laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. We the people in Article 1 gave legislative powers to Congress. We did not empower them to write laws to regulate our behavior. In Article 2, we established executive powers. In Article 3, we gave judicial powers in law and equity, within equity courts and not courts of law. Courts of law are natural law courts, where the tribunal is the people themselves. We did not give any judge the ability to judge the people in criminal cases. Article 4 secures the full faith and credit between the states and guarantees to every state a republican form of government. Article 5 establishes the law of the land being our founding documents and secures equal suffrage by every state in the Senate. Article 7 proclaims the ratification of the Constitution. In conclusion, we the people, being the authors and the source of the law, are sovereign. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and the source of law. But in our system, while the sovereign's powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. And the law is in definition and limitation of power. Sovereignty itself means the degree of the sovereign makes the law, and foreign courts cannot condemn influences persuading sovereigns to make the decree. The people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. And the state cannot diminish the rights of the people. Supreme sovereignty is in the people, and no authority can, on any pretense whatsoever, be exercised over the citizens of this state, but such as or shall be derived from and granted by the people of this state. We the people ordained and established the Constitution for the United States of America. We the people vested Congress with statute-making powers. We the people defined the limitation, that power of statute-making. We the people limited lawmaking powers to ourselves alone. We the people did not vest the judiciary with lawmaking powers. We the people are the judicial tribunal, the jury, having attributes and exercising functions independent of the person of the magistrate designed generally to hold it, and proceeding according to the course of natural law. Thomas Jefferson said, "The constitutions of most of our states assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves in all cases to which they think themselves competent, as in electing their functionaries, executive and legislative, and deciding by the jury of themselves the facts and the law in all judiciary cases in which any fact is involved." Samuel Adams said, "The natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth, and not to be under the will of or legislative authority of man, but only to have the laws of nature for his rule." The United States Supreme Court said, "The decisions of a superior court may only be challenged in a court of appeal. The decisions of an inferior court are subject to collateral attack." In other words, in a superior court, one may sue an inferior court directly rather than resort to appeal to an appellate court. Decisions of a court of record may not be appealed. It is binding on all other courts. However, no statutory or constitutional court, whether it be an appellate or supreme court, can second-guess the judgment of a court of record. The judgment of a court of record whose jurisdiction is final is as conclusive on all the world as the judgment of this court would be. It is as conclusive on this court as it is on other courts. It puts an end to inquiry concerning the facts by deciding it. James Madison, the fourth president, hailed as the father of the Constitution, said, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." In the case of Bonnet versus Valier in 1886, the United States Supreme Court said, "In common law, the general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and the name of law, is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose, since its unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment. In legal contemplation, it is as inoperative as if it had never been passed. Since an unconstitutional law is void, the general principle follows that it poses no duties, it confers no right, it creates no office, bestows no power or authority on anyone, affords no protection, and justifies no act performed under it. A void act cannot be legally consistent with a valid one. An unconstitutional law cannot operate to supersede any existing law, indeed insofar as the statutes run counter to the fundamental law of the land, the Constitution. It is superseded thereby. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no court are bound to enforce it." Samuel Adams said, "The natural liberty of man is to be from any superior power on earth, and not to be under the will of legislative authority of man, but only to have the laws of nature for his rule." In a stunning 6-3 decision, Justice Anton Scalia, in the case of the United States versus Williams, writing for the majority, confirmed that the American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branch of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. Thomas Jefferson, the founder of our natural law republic, said, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. And I know no safer depository of the ultimate powers of society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective abuses of the constitutional powers. Educate and inform the whole mass of people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for its citizens." In Article 1, Section 1 of the United States Constitution, "We the people vested Congress with legislative powers to write law in equity only, which is the body of jurisprudence or field of jurisdiction, differing in its origin, theory, and method from the common law. Equity is governed by American jurisprudence, which is the science of the principles of equity and legal relations under the rules of the common law. Nowhere in our founding documents can you find any authority for Congress to write positive law, also known as equity, to control the behavior of the people, and therefore they have no such powers. Equity only lawfully governs commercial and government agencies. When criminal charges are levied against the government agents or an individual participating in commercial activities, or any person unlawfully trafficking in commercial activities, they must be first indicted by a common law grand jury, and then judged by a common law petit jury. An information by a prosecutor and a ruling of a judge is not lawful." Okay, this is the end of part one, and we will look into part two next week. Okay, I did notice that I did have two more redundancies, two more repeats, and one of them was on page 9, Samuel Adams quote. So I'm going to correct that over the course of the week and take that quote out, because, again, we had mentioned only a few lines earlier. I think also the Thomas Jefferson quotes were also repeated. I'll have to double-check to see if it's the same quotes. I think they were. And if they were, I'll remove one of the sections, either the first or the latter one. Now, next week, we're going to look at the essay on the trial by jury that we put into this jurist handbook. It is extremely important that all individuals that come up to become jurists is educated in this area, in these areas. And that's why this particular book was written, 38 pages. And in my opinion, it just gets more and more exciting and powerful on the power of the people and how the government can be controlled by the people through the juries alone. We have the power of indictment. We can come together anytime and get rid of these people. But first, we have to believe it. You know, reality is as one perceives it, and whatever they believe to be the truth, then, of course, that's what they're going to exercise. Many of our sheriffs, for instance, they don't know what the truth is. They're following civil law judges and civil law attorneys. When a sheriff has a situation where they're considering, the law, I mean the true law, more often than not, unfortunately, they go to the county attorney to get advice and usually follow that advice, thinking that that's the law. And in most cases, nothing could be further from the truth. We must train our sheriffs in the way that they should operate and the way they should perform and how they are there to protect the people from an overreaching government. And if they don't have that power, if they don't have that backbone, they can't do it. They're not going to do it. Knowledge is power. And we have sheriff to sheriff to sheriff. You know, and again, that is why we are doing the sheriff's campaign. Everybody really needs to think about donating to that process to make sure that we get knowledge to all sheriffs. You know, we have one state, as I mentioned earlier, I think we mentioned it last week, we have one state that every sheriff is receiving a book. And all the books went out this past Saturday. They went actually into the mail. So anybody who hasn't received the book yet should be receiving that book. I did get a recent order that I got to get out, and I got someone over the weekend that donated 28 books. They paid $1,400 to purchase 28 books for 28 sheriffs, and of course we appreciate that person, and anybody else that has the capacity to do that. If you want to save this nation, this is where to do it. The knowledge, get the knowledge to the sheriff, and get the knowledge to yourself. And again, this is just one booklet that we're offering here for free here for jurists, at least to prepare the people to be able to be qualified to sit as fully informed jurists with the knowledge of their powers, their authorities to overrule, for they are the final lawmakers. They are the sovereigns. They are the ones that decide, as any king, this law is good or this law is bad. You know, we judge by the law of our hearts. And anytime any kind of a statute is brought into a courtroom, unless it's a case for an individual that's been involved in commercial or some agency, government agency activities, we should nullify it immediately, not accept it, ignore it, delete it. And if we don't like it, if it's being used in a case where an individual was operating in those activities, or even illegal commercial activities in a state, of course, would be judged under those rules and laws and could be punished with certain punishments USC 18, which is the penal code. But that penal code does not apply to we the people. You know, as a matter of fact, prior to 1972, and by the way, if anybody's had any questions or comments on what we just looked at, what we talked about, or what I'm talking about now, please hit *6, get into the queue and ask your question, or make your comment or offer a correction. But, we can ignore anything that any government agent brings to us, that any court officer, any attorney or judge, we can just ignore them. We can nullify it. We are the sovereigns of the court. We make the law. It comes from the heart. It's natural law court. That's what this is. So people need this knowledge. Our sheriff needs this knowledge. And this is government by consent. You cannot have government by consent without this knowledge. Not possible. You can't exercise it. Look what has happened the past 150 years or so, or at least 100 years. Okay, going back to the turn of the century, into the 1900s, the 20th century. Look at what all people are so ignorant, even back then, still to a lot of degree, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the last 50 or 60 years is just unbelievable. You can't recognize this nation as a republic. We are no longer a republic. We are a democracy. We are controlled by an oligarchy, ruled over by legislators working with that oligarchy, all orchestrated to just ultimately enslave us, to enslave the world. And it's because we're ignorant, because we don't know, we don't exercise, we don't participate. We have government not by the majority, but by the majority that participates. And right now, most of the people participating are lawless individuals. We need to step up and take control. We need to create committees of safety in every single county across America. You know, we're already priming our sheriffs with these books going out. We have a lot more books we need to get out, so really we need people to be buying these books and getting them out to these people. We were already priming our sheriffs with the understanding of the job that they have to protect the people, to hold up the Constitution, to understand the Constitution. Not to go to a council of a civil law attorney who knows nothing about natural law, nothing about a republic. But we've lost our republic. It's gone. We've lost our courts. It's gone. We have no control over political process. It's gone. There is no habeas corpus. It's gone. You have no more rights to liberty in any sense of the word. They're trying to take our guns. I mean, how dare they? They should be in jail. To suggest that is tyranny. To suggest that is an assault upon we the people. To use a political office to springboard the position to deny us our right of self-defense under the Second Amendment, those people should be removed from office. They should be tried, found guilty, and be given a hefty jail sentence. They're guilty of subversion. They're tyrants. We are taxed to death. Look what's going on right now. It's really being exposed. What are we going to do on the other end of this thing? What are we going to do on the other side? You know, those of us that are in the know and really have been paying very close attention, looking for the consistency of truth. For truth is self-evident and it's consistent, and that's how you know you have it. Sometimes it takes a long time of listening and considering before you can have it, but that's how you discover it. And for those who know it, to know that the military is going to do something about this, they cannot not do anything. They cannot be in that position. Therefore, they must. It was a double negative. They must do something. They have no choice. You know, this was all prepared for by Kennedy, who was taken out and by assassination. That was the coup. It was the final draw. That was when the office of the presidency was totally under the control of the deep state. Prior to that, they just had enemies in there. But they couldn't just have anybody in there. And Kennedy wasn't willing to be tied down. We know he had his problems and everything else, but that's irrelevant. He was not willing to give up his country. He was not willing to participate with these people. And they took him out for that. And from that point forward, the only next president after that was considering to try something was really ignorant of what was going on and was discovering what was going on, and that was Reagan. You know, those of us who know Reagan and have heard him speak earlier on in his earlier days and stuff, he understood communism. He understood the problems that were going on in this nation. He never thought it was as deep as it was here. He never thought that, the problems were that bad until he got into office, I'm sure. And within 30 days, I believe it was, very quickly they tried to take him out. So, anyway, he set forth an order to special forces to protect the Republic from enemies within. And that order has been passed down, and that order was ordered to be passed down from soldier to soldier from, you know, throughout the special forces, all the special forces. And that has come down through today. And we do know that through devolution, President Trump has set forth the gears back earlier on in his administration in order to do something to not allow this republic to fall, to prevent its demise. And so we're waiting. And we're patiently waiting. And I think it's going to get worse. I think it's going to get a lot worse. The people have to see. And people are seeing. Every day people are waking up. The big conversation is what's going on in Afghanistan. What the heck happened there? How do we leave our people behind? What's going on here? Think of all the weapons this maniac in the White House has given over to the enemy. Anyway, we're in trouble. And the only way we're going to save this nation, again, the military is going to do its job. I'm confident of that. They have to. There is no choice. It's lock and load for we the people at the grassroots level, and it's over. That's the only way to go. And we will lose from that point if the military isn't with us. And, of course, the military is with us. And, this whole situation that we've been watching is just a big trap. But what are we going to do once they take it back and give it back to the people? What are the people going to do? They have to be able to take it. They have to receive it. They have to exercise it. They don't know how. They can't. Surely they don't know how. They don't even know that we're a republic. They don't even understand what a republic is in most cases. And those people who understand a republic doesn't even understand what a natural law republic is. Doesn't even understand how unique this natural law republic is. Second only time, 1600 BC, which is 3,600 years ago, was the first and only one time for a period of 400 years that this world had a natural law republic. Only once. Extremely successful. And every time they drifted away, okay, things would fall apart for them. They'd get their common sense back, and they'd return back under the law and success. And, you know, they just kept having much success. England was close, but never achieved it. America is the only one that has achieved it since that, 3,600 years ago. Second time. Will it ever be achieved again? Can it ever be achieved again? To understand the gift that our founding fathers had given us, to know and understand the powers and the authorities that we the people have by ordaining, we the people ordained, we the people established this Constitution for them. To understand that, to exercise that power and authority, to remove these judges like that. Remove, we can remove these judges immediately. We can remove anyone from office immediately. Just through the power of the jury. But the people can stop being persecuted by, and believe me, a lot of us are persecuted. I've been assaulted for over 20 years in this situation for, you know, bucking the system and still battling them. And all it would take is to go down to the grand jury and say, I got a problem with the government. And the grand jury says, yeah, who, where? And starts an investigation and stops it. Starts doing some indictments, whatever is necessary. And maybe it's just as much as a phone call and says, stop doing it. Depending on how far that situation goes. This is power. This is authority. This is government by consent. The power of the jury, the power of the grand jury, the power of the trial jury, the power of the sheriff, the law enforcer, the protector of liberty, the protector of the Constitution, the protector of the king, the sovereign. That's who the sheriff is. The protector of the king, the sovereign. We are the sovereigns. We are, each one of us is our own kingdom. Within our own world, our own, whatever it is that we have created for ourselves. Anyway, I do see one person's in the queue. We'll take a question. If anybody else has a question concerning this subject matter we've been talking about, and or comment or correction, whatever, you know, we're open for that. And then we'll move on to the rest of our program. We have Brent Winters, I see, is here, so we're going to be handing things over to him shortly. I don't know if Gerard's here. But if he's not, then I'll continue the Q&AF or we work with Brent Winters. And Jan may have some questions or some necessary announcements. But first, let's take at least that one person that's in the queue. Rose, it looks like you're already unmuted. I don't know how that happened, but go ahead, Rose. You got the mic. Or Ross. Is that Ross? Oh, it's Ross. R-O-S-S. Sorry.
Yes, it's Ross. I have, I already told Gerard that I submitted a Declaration of Individual Sovereignty to Congress.
You did something
with... I don't know how we can reverse that.
I'm sorry, you something about a Declaration of Sovereignty to Congress? You have filed something with Congress concerning the Declaration of your Sovereignty? Is that what you're saying?
No, I said Declaration of Individual Sovereignty.
Okay. What about it? I don't understand the question. Have you declared that somewhere, or you wanted to talk about that?
Oh, no, I have sent a petition into Congress for my individual sovereignty.
Okay.
But I don't know how to reverse it, because it's already in the process of...
You won't have to reverse it. Then no one's going to read it. They're going to ignore it. They're just going to throw it in the garbage. It doesn't mean nothing to them. And those people who are teaching that for people to do what you're talking about, Usually they, I don't know, someone is teaching something in error, though, at least from what I know, have heard myself being taught. You know, you're supposed to go down to the county records in the county building and file it there. And that's where you make your statement and can reference back to your sovereignty and to be able to deal with these people. People think that once you do that, if you get into a court of law, you can refer back, which you'll never get into a court of law, by the way. You'll get into a court of judges.
No.
You know, judges in black capes, you know.
Yes, because the thing you just talked about, the jury, because you don't have a legitimate jury right now, that's why.
That's correct. You're right. We do not have one. And we will continue to not have one until we take our courts back. And we will take our courts back. We will. Well, let's put it this way. National Liberty Alliance is working to take the courts back. I know there are other entities working too, but they're not coming from the perspective that we're coming from. No, we want to really take it back. We want to fire all these people and get rid of them and indict these people that have been destroying our republic and injuring the people for their entire careers. We want to get rid of all the bar attorneys. They need to separate themselves from the bar. They can continue to practice if they want. And their civil law, you know, they need to really go back and revisit their civil law to see that they really only have the practice of equity and not law. I mean, they can practice law. They can represent people in law. But these people do not. These people do not and should not, and nor do they deserve to have any access into the court system to represent anyone if they are a bar licensed or a bar member. They need to give that up. And every judge that's a conflict of interest needs to give it up and return this court back to the courts of nature, courts of law, okay? And be obedient only to lawful legislation in equity within the state or within the federal government and operate within the procedures and under the rules of the common law and nothing else. All the rules of civil procedure is null and void. It's destructive, it is controlling, and it destroys the people. It destroys the human spirit. It is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. The equity courts up until 1938, all equity courts were governed by the rules of common law that they hated and despised because it would reveal who these people are. And eventually they would be removed and judged by the people once seen. The problem is they've been making us ignorant for over 100 years. And it's time to wake up. It's time to get educated. It's time to take it back. It's time to do something. But anyway, that paper that you filed, they usually teach you to file that in the county. But you're only mocking yourself by doing something like that. Since you sent it to Congress, they'll just totally ignore it. They may even send it back to you. But they'll probably just throw it in the trash and nothing will go of it.
Yes, I actually got an email from Ora Blumenhau, who's my representative in Congress. And he said he would get full details to me soon.
Well, you can see what happens. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Doing those things. Yeah, well, look, we don't have to declare the fact that we are sovereign people. We don't have to declare that. The Declaration of Independence has declared that. The Constitution has declared that. The Bill of Rights, part of the Constitution, has declared that. And natural law makes it clear. You know, anybody with a beating heart, any human being, they have all the full unalienable rights of anybody else. And it doesn't matter where they came from, where they were born. If they set foot within the government, within our nation, they have all the protection of the common law as anyone else does. They don't have to be an American to have that protection. Of course, if they're here illegally, then judgment would be made, and they'd be sent back if they're here illegally or whatever the case may be. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about people who are here illegally. And maybe not be citizens, they still have all the protections. But so does that other person who's here illegally. So, all right, anything else?
I'm still struggling organize the community of safety in Clackamas County in that sense.
You want to know how?
Okay.
If you go up
I was just saying, I talked to one of the callers, the list you give me for numbers to call National Liberty Alliance members.
Uh-huh.
One of them I talked to yesterday, he said, I don't know if that would succeed right now in Clackamas County.
You talked with another member and within your county, are you saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're trying to organize?
Yes, and he said he thinks it would not succeed right now because Clackamas County is so divided right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about being divided. I'd be ready. I'd be concerned with getting hold of the people who are willing to do something. You know, look, people are divided, and the people who are making all the chaos, and the people who are complaining and backbiting and fighting and all that stuff, they're not really there making the decisions, okay? Those people that are in making the decisions as far as who's going to go on the ticket, you know, as far as running for some kind of an office and what's going on in the courts, those are the people that are controlling everything, and we need to take it away from them. So we must have government by the majority that participates with the Constitution. And once we overwhelm them, then we take it over. But even more than that, you know, once the military does its job and this nation is returned back to the people, into the hands of the people, if we have an educated people to receive that nation, then we will take it back. And we will take our courts back. And we will control our natural law courts, which is the way it's meant to be. And judges will control the equity courts, which is the way it's meant to be. You know, I look to see what's going on here in Texas, okay, with that ruling. The United States Supreme Court, in the first place, never had the authority or the power to step on God's toes to rule on an issue that belongs in a court of law and not a court of equity. They don't have that power. They could not make murder legal. They just could not do it. And people are so, people have been living under this so long. When I was a child, I remember the conversations. In my mind, it was murder. There was no doubt about it. I heard my parents talk, and I heard them talk with my aunts and my uncles and the neighbors and stuff, and we heard all this stuff. And it was murder across the board. This was not permitted. This was not acceptable. Okay? And the excuse was, oh, all these women are going into back alleys, and they're dying because they're having people performing abortions and so on and so forth. Look, this belongs in a court of law. This belongs for the people to make a decision in God's court, a court of justice, a court of law, one run by the people, and that's where it belongs. And let those people
and
judge.
Also, yes, how about the gay marriage thing as well?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Gay marriage.
Gay marriage? Well, look, marriage is between a man and a woman, and to think of it outside. Look, let's first ask the question where this really arises from. Where does marriage really arise from? It comes right from the Bible. It goes all the way back. Okay? So, you know, what God has put together, and he's certainly not putting two men together or two women together. So this whole thing is, again, the government has no place in that issue. Okay? And again, all the people that are making a big bark about this are people that are just trying to cause havoc and destruction and confusion, and the crowds are prodded and stimulated ultimately just to create confusion, because they get all the confusion going over here while they're doing their deeds, their dirty, dastardly deeds over there, you know, and we're not watching.
Say the opposite thing and the opposite action of what they say.
Well, absolutely, yes. They play games with words. They change the meaning of words. You know, they make the word sovereign a horrible, terrible thing. A terrorist is a sovereign, you know. I remember watching not long ago, I saw some program, and it was about, I don't remember whose program it was, but it was just something about where these terrorists are up, you know, these homeland terrorists were about. And they were talking, and they were talking about the founding fathers. And that was just an evil, evil thing. Those are the evil people. Those people talking about the founding fathers. Now, I'm sure maybe to some degree they were talking about the founding fathers of their movement or something. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they were talking about the founding fathers of our nation. And in any event, maybe they were distorted in that or not. I don't know. It was just again, it was just a program. But the point is they were trying to just instill into the mind of the people, to program the mind of the people. Sovereigns is evil. Founding fathers, those people are evil. And that's really the bottom line. And so it's just nothing but destruction. But with that, let me take the next caller, and we're going to move on.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, let's take John from Michigan, and after that, we're going to move to the next program. John, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I was just curious, if you get on the jury and the judge is asking, or, you know, swearing into an oath of the jury, and he says that you have to, rules on the law, you rule on the case, whatever like that. You know, do you ignore him? Do you lie to him and said you're going to abide by his requirements? How exactly do you...
Well, that's a tricky thing, because they may do that in order to discover whether they want to allow you to be on to the jury or not. So if they ask the question if you're going to do that, your question becomes, well, am I going to have to tell the truth or am I going to tell a lie? You know, the answer may seem to be a difficult one and you struggle back and forth, but if you just stand on principles, you just have no choice but to just tell the truth. Okay, then of course you're going to be, disconnected from that. They're not going to want you to be sitting on the jury, because they want a jurist that's going to be obedient to the government issues, you know. But once you get past that process, if it's not asked of you and you get in, no matter what the judge informs you, you can go to Hades. You need to hold forth justice. We're not here to rule the law or uphold the law. We're here to uphold justice. And the law has no place... No men's law, let's put it that way, legislative law has no place in a court of law whatsoever, unless the person being criminally tried, okay, was, again, a government agent who was under some agreement. Of course, they're supposed to be operating under codes and procedures, and there's USC 18, which is the penal codes in it, and requires certain punishments or defines it. If they do this, this happens or that, whatever the case may be. Okay, well, the jury gets to look at that and consider it. They may nullify it. It's their prerogative. They may uphold it. They may uphold it a little bit and say that that's too drastic, you know, to give someone that long a time in jail maybe or something like that. And they may, you know, resist that. Juries are always supposed to have, at the end of the day, the focus is always supposed to be on restitution. But again... and how that could happen, but they must ignore the orders. As a matter of fact, that judge is meddling with the jury. He's tampering with the jury. That's jury tampering. The judge is not permitted to say anything like that or hold that up. It's all totally up to the people. The people get to decide the facts, the law, and the penalty or / restitution.
There's no doubt about that, but most of these judges, when you go to court, if you're on a jury pool, they'll pose that question to you. You know, does anybody have a problem applying the law as I tell you that I can? And if you say yes, I do, you're not going to get on jury, and the people that you're normally are being...
Well, you're right. They're setting the stage against us. That is a major problem.
How do you get on jury? I guess that's my question.
Well, we sometimes you'll get through because they won't ask that question. Okay, but and some people may go along with and get in there and do the right thing, but you know I wouldn't do it that way, so it's a little difficult. This is a problem we have. People are corralled everywhere. Things in life, we're corralled everywhere. We're like cattle, moving to the right, moving to the left, pushing this way, pulling back that way. I mean, it's unbelievable how much people are totally controlled. And, you know, we're all controlled to go get our licenses to drive. We're all controlled and pushed in order to get our licenses to carry a weapon, in most states anyway. And, you know, everything is just under control. And if you don't, you know, I got a driver's license because I just don't want to keep going to jail. And believe me, here in New York, eventually they'll arrest you driving without a license. A lot of places will. So, you know, and I have driven commercially in the past, so who knows, maybe I want to drive commercially again, so I've got one. So if I was told in a court, well, you got a driver's license, I said, that's when I drive commercially, you know. But
there's no real answer then, I'm saying, because I mean,
not now, there is no answer. We're stuck between a rock and a hard place, but there is an answer. If, first of all, if the question is not asked, you get access in, you can make the decisions. It is unfortunate. Look at, I heard recently of a case, matter of fact, it has come before us, I don't know where it's at, but I know I heard some information on a case we may be working with a little bit on, and where a jury made a decision, and the judge threw the jury's decision out. I mean, my goodness, that's tyranny. That's a tyrant. Who does this guy think he is, or a woman? I don't know, a woman or a man. Who do they think they are that they can overrule the highest court in the land? You know, we read on the papers, we were just looking at it, talked about a court of record, okay? And a court of record, the decision is final. Not even the United States Supreme Court was saying this. Not even this court, not even the United States Supreme Court can overturn or second-guess the decisions of a court of record. And a court of record is one with a jury of our peers. Think about those words. No one can overturn it. Who does this judge think he is? Well, she is, that they think they can overturn that decision. That's what we're up against. Like I said not long ago, you don't have liberty. Your rights to life and liberty and pursuit of happiness is not protected by this government, neither on the federal level or the state level. It's not protected. You can't have it. It's not yours. They'll give you a little this, a little that, make you think you're free, but you're not free. Because when it comes down to the bottom line, the hard truth, you'll just be met with the cold truth, and that'll be that. Habeas corpus, forget about it. They ignore that all day long. We've got over 100 habeas corpuses in there. Almost all of them are being just ignored, thrown out. Nothing. They're doing absolutely nothing. So how do we fix this problem? We can't fix this problem without the government being brought back to under the Constitution again. And that's what we're expecting the military to do, the special forces to do. We believe that Donald Trump has set forth the movement while he was in office to deal with the subversion. He had a duty to do that. And he could do anything under those circumstances. Anything. And anybody who thinks that Donald Trump was going to walk away from the White House and just allow America and the Republic to just fall apart to the wayside and not do nothing about it. He can extraordinary things, and he is doing extraordinary things. Devolution was the answer to this. He set the stage before he left. The military continues in control. They're on a special forces work in order to deal with subversion for enemies, both foreign and domestic, no matter what it takes. There is nothing to prevent them from doing what has to be done. They can do anything to take this nation back away from these evil people. And it will happen. I am totally, totally convinced without, there's no doubt in my mind or heart on this. The only question is when. But when that happens, that's where our opportunity comes. That's where we take power. That's where we exercise the authority that we, the people, have. But you can't exercise it and you can't have it if you don't know it. If you don't know what to do and how to do it, what do? Just wait for the next person to come in and take control and destroy us. And this enemy won't do it, the next one will then. Because the people just are not willing to learn and take the authority and the power, step up, to put a little time and a little money into what is necessary to save this republic. Go ahead, John.
Thank you.
Go ahead. You were going to say something else. Go ahead.
I just say you're preaching to the choir. But I mean,
I've got
one of those habeas corpus cases in there with you and all. I'm just disgusted with the whole thing I'm seeing.
Yeah, it is. It is disgusting and disgusted. But it will prevail. I believe, no doubt in my mind and my heart, all of the cases that are sitting in this court today that come through National Liberty Alliance, and I'm sure other places also, once we get to the other side, they've got to be settled. These people have to receive their homes back or some compensation if that's not possible. These people need to be compensated for being held without due process. And people and these judges, we've indicted the most of them. And we have a whole bunch more we need to be indicting, and we will. But we've been indicting these people. They need to face judgment in a court of law. The people must listen and decide what to do with these people. I'll tell you what, they need to go to jail. That's the purpose of the jail, for those people. You know?
If it's intentional and it's absolutely treasonous.
And it definitely is. There's no...
There's a definite solution to that, too.
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, the hangman's noose, which is the penalty for treason, you know, everybody involved in the treason is different degrees and stuff, so, I mean, everybody doesn't deserve to hang. And again, that's going to be up to the people to decide each case individually. A lot of what's going on, I think, will be, there's no doubt in my mind, on the other end, because the courts could never handle this. It'll take way too long and wouldn't be proper. We're in war. This is war. We are the casualties of war. Those of us who have lost our homes, I haven't, but those of us who have lost their homes, those of us who have been sitting in jail or being held in a sense in custody because they have to keep going back to court and over again, and habeas corpus were put in and so on, all those people need to be restored. All of those people. Now, one may ask, well, how or where do they be, are they restored? Well, these people that have taken over, they control almost all the world's wealth, properties, all kinds of different things, the physical things that they own and have taken. The Federal Reserve needs to be seized, and it will be seized. And all the gold, silver that these people have, all the hoarding that they have, the properties they have, it's all going to be taken away from these people. And that's where the people will be compensated. And... you know, their plan is to bring us into debt so heavily and make us think that we have to pay it back and just enslave us for the rest of our life from generation to generation. That's their plan. But justice, the plan of justice is to take it all away from them and give it back to the people of the world. And there's plenty to be given back to the people of the world. So there will be justice. It will come. And I do believe that people will be getting their homes back. I believe that people will be compensated for their time in jail, or even if it's in statutory, confinement, just being held, going back and forth to a court over and over and over again. I do believe justice will prevail. It's coming.
Well, I've been to both of those things. I've been through all that stuff, and like I say, when I came in this world, I had absolutely nothing. I still have most of it left, so we're all right.
Yeah, there you go. I agree.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. Thanks. Let's take one other caller, Amy, then we're going to move over to Brent. Amy, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Sure. So on the topic of the juries, I had like a two topic. The jury, Robert Barnes, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He does a lot of the video blogs. He's got a channel on the Viva Barnes Locals, the Locals app.
Mm-hmm.
He covered a situation this week about a jury member was kicked off for not being vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was that neither side objected, so it just carried on.
People are ignorant. People are ignorant, and that's the problem. It wouldn't happen. Look at. If that person understood their powers and authorities and the unrighteousness and the unjustness of that, and was able to go to a just and righteous sheriff who knew and understood the law, they could have gotten satisfaction from there. And when you say taken off the jury, was it a petit jury, a trial jury?
Or was it a grand jury? It again.
Okay, because
sure.
If it was a petit jury or something, they can go to the grand jury for justice. And they can definitely go to the sheriff to, you know, be able to enforce their unalienable right to sit on the king's bench to judge according to justice. They have an unalienable right to do that. Matter of fact, we not only have an unalienable right to do that, we have an unalienable duty to do that. And anybody who rejects doing that duty, shame on them. You know, they're either ignorant or something. They need to realize that this is where our power is. This is where our authority is. Okay?
Well,
and this isn't the only one.
That people might start using that as an excuse to get out of jury duty.
Well, that's true, yes. You know? And we need to stop thinking that way. They seeded us with that. Their narrative seeded us with that. You know? They do all kinds of things in entertainment and news and everything, which is entertainment also, you know. They seed our brains with these ideas and thoughts. They give us these narratives, and eventually I just string these narratives together. Next thing you know, we've lost our common sense. The people have lost their common sense. And this is what we're watching is a takeover by a communist or a Marxist or a Nazi regime, whatever you want. It doesn't matter. They pretty much end up the same place. It doesn't matter which one it is. But that's what we're watching. We're watching the fall of the Republic, which has already fallen, by the way. It has already fallen. But by the grace of God, will we retrieve it back, you know? So. All right, any final word, Amy?
The other thing, back to my ongoing drama about my apartment. So I asked my real estate attorney if, you know, because she said that the buyer could sue me for breach of contract. But I said, well, if the title report is incorrect, because now I have the evidence of the UCC 11 search and the FOIA request,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if the contract contingent or based on clear title, which is, you know, contingent on that title report, then, and that title report is either incorrect or fraudulent, I mean, wouldn't that, I mean, does fraud, where they say fraud vitiates everything? She said, no, that has nothing to do with the contract. That's a totally separate issue. That has something to do.
See how far off of justice they are? That just shows you how far from justice they are. To think that something like that can overrule that which is just in what they claim to be the law courts, okay? It's just it's how far we've come. And the people just continue to walk away, and they allow it to happen, and, well, there's nothing I can do about it, and there's a lot we can do about it. Get educated. Get your neighbor to get educated. Educate your sheriff. Educate each other. Push the issue. Get those people who have woken up. Get them educated, and let's take this nation back. You know, we seated the sheriffs. We read the sheriff's papers we sent to the sheriffs last week with the copy of the book, okay? And first of all, we put a sticker in the book. This is the property of the sheriff's office, the county sheriff's office. In other words, this isn't a gift to just the sheriff. No, this is belongs in their library, belongs in their office, okay? And when they leave, they should leave it there. That's the point. It's the property of the office. And we laid out the purpose, the fact that their job is to protect the people, to protect the Constitution, to protect the people from an overstepping government. This is their job. And we, you know, again, and we had Sheriff Darr from Michigan, who's been working diligently with sheriffs in his county and working to try to get all the sheriffs in the counties around him, shall I say, not the sheriffs in his county, he's the sheriff, but other sheriffs in his state. And to get all those other county sheriffs educated and get them organized, get them to understand their true purpose. And as a matter of fact, him and Brent are going to be running a course very specifically for sheriffs. Maybe he might want to talk about that when he gets the mic. And, you know, we need to get these sheriffs to this course. And that's why, you know, I don't know, I think this course is supposed to start in September sometime, I think. I don't think it started yet, but when Brent gets the mic, he'll tell us. But look, we need to get the books out now so we can get as many sheriffs as we can to this course. So please, if you haven't bought your sheriff a book, or if you've got the ability to buy more than one sheriff a book, again, we had one person who bought 24 books. And so 24 sheriffs got a book from this one person. We got a person just this weekend who donated 28 books. So we got 28 sheriffs going to get those books. Okay? And so we need to educate our sheriffs, and we need to educate ourselves, and we need to take back control. But again, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. Not going to happen. Jefferson said, if people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Forget about it. You can't have it. You cannot have liberty. You don't deserve liberty. If you've been offered to you and you reject it, and you do nothing about it, and the tyrants come in and they seize control of everything and enslave us and our children, well, then that's what we've allowed them to do because we refuse to step up and do anything. So let's take a stand. Let's get connected with our sheriffs. We're seating the sheriffs. We're preparing them. We even make notes to keep an eye out for when the Committee of Safety gets started in their counties to connect with them, because they are the people on the grassroots level who are getting educated in the Constitution and have a desire to bring this great nation back to the great natural law republic that was created to be. And again, a natural law republic is different from any other republic in the world. Nothing compares to it. The last one was 1600 B.C. That's the last one. And that had its strength for about 400 years. And this is the second one. 3,600 years later, this is the second one. Will we ever see it again on planet Earth? I don't think so. It's up to the people to secure it. And if we won't secure it, nobody else will. Because there is nobody else. Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to move over, and we'll come back to an open forum shortly again. If anybody has any other questions or comments, either on this subject or any other subject matter, we'll take it. But, Jen, do we have any announcements or any questions? I don't want to get too lost on questions tonight because I've taken a lot of time. But let me just say one other thing. I'm going to try to... Tonight's study was about 22 minutes long, I think. It wasn't that long. And I'm going to try to keep it down to about 20 minutes to introduce something. Right now, again, we're going to be looking at the jury, so we'll have three more parts coming up. And maybe 20 minutes to get it out, and 20 minutes for a Q&A, and then move on to the next part of our process, program. But we have gone over quite a bit tonight. I guess I rambled too much. But we'll try to keep it more critique for, compact. And so we can move through the rest of our programming. So let me first ask, Jen, do we have any questions, comments, or announcements?
John, I am really, really sorry. I have absolutely no questions.
Oh, thank you. Which I don't mind the questions. It's just that I want to move things along. But any announcements?
No, not really, John.
Okay, no announcements. And by the way, we're looking for more people to help us. We need lots of help here at National Liberty Alliance. Anybody wants to volunteer their time in, get a hold of Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org. We also need somebody, if anybody's got some good experience on how to deal with like YouTube videos to put things together, and maybe we'd like to start simulcasting our program, our Monday night program, on one of those... Goodness, I can't even think of the names of them. BitChute is one of them. What's the other one? Something with an R, I think. Rumble, that's it, Rumble. I think Rumble is a good one to go with. But we need somebody who will assist us, help us to simulcast our program through Rumble, and also to be able to maybe, I usually play a song at the beginning of our program. And we have to cut that out when we put it up on Rumble or any other place. I mean, it's kind of silly in my opinion, but we're not making money here or anything. But in any event, we'll have to cut that out. So if anybody has the ability to cut video, little pieces out of the video, and make sure it gets posted up on Rumble and maybe a few other places, and do our simulcast live, we may need more than one person to do that. Anybody who's got those abilities and would like to help out, get a hold of Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org. And, a lot of the positions here at National Liberty Alliance in the future, Once we really get rolling and we hit critical mass and the money starts to come in, we're going to have paid positions. And one position would be a paid position at some point in time. We have a lot of people who have volunteered their time for many years with us here at National Liberty Alliance. And a lot of those people at some point, hopefully soon, will start to get compensated for that because they put a lot of their time in. So we'd like to really be able to get people who are professionals and working. But anyway, anybody interested in volunteering to work with us until that time comes, get a hold of Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay, is that it? Are we ready to move on, Jan, or we're done with anything else, right?
Yeah, we're ready to move on, John. I don't have anything else.
MoveOn.org. Okay. All right. I don't know if Gerard is here. Gerard, are you here? I don't see him out there. I do see Brent. Yeah. Anybody sees Gerard, let me know. Meanwhile, we'll move on. Brent, you ready to take the mic? Brent?
Yes.
There he goes. Okay. You might want to address that, what I was talking about the sheriffs, that you're going to be running some kind of a course specifically for instructing sheriffs with Sheriff Darr. But let me introduce you first, so if you want to talk on that, that'd be good. Okay, this is Brent Allen Winters. He's the author of the book The Excellence of the Common Law and a few other books, and his website is commonlawyer.com. Brent's going to talk with us for a while, and then we'll go to an open forum. Go ahead, Brent.
Well, thank you, and John, and thank you for giving me leave to talk about the class that is scheduled to start in 3 days. 3 days. That'll be on the 9th of September at 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific, 9 o'clock in the morning Rocky Mountain, or 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning Central, and 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. And go to commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. Right on the home page, there's a set of words you can click on there that says new, the Sheriff at Common Law. That's the name of the class, the Sheriff at Common Law. And you can click on that and see how to sign up for the class. If you know any homeschoolers, they get a special deal. Other groups can have a special deal too. We're trying to hammer this out as we go, but if you can get a group of folk together, I have one friend, he said, I'm gonna just put it up on the big screen in my office, because me and my buddies get together once a week and talk about how we can or what we can do in case everything falls apart. They've been doing this for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, long time. There's one of the retired judges there in town that meets with them. And a few other people that some of them have the means to purchase things that are needed, food and medical supplies. Of course, they talk about guns and ammunition. This is the duty of the militia, which is also the same people, when you put it under the authority of the sheriff, is the county. And Sheriff Darr Leaf of Berry County, Michigan, has been kind enough to say he would teach this class with me. We'll be meeting for 12 weeks on Thursday mornings, and we're going to try to hit one point. If we can get one point across each week, of course, you talk about other things that support that point, but Sheriff Darr agrees that that's all we need to concentrate on. I agree with him. We'll talk about a lot of things, and maybe we'll continue it. I don't know what we'll do. We'll finish the course that we've got laid out. And there'll be, when you sign up, you'll get a booklet on the Constitution. Well, my booklet on the Constitution, just so you have it. And of course, if you've got John's book, that would give you a resource. Of course, people are sending me things. Say, Brent, I've got this book you've got to have for this class, and one of the books that's out there that's important and has been since 1941 is the two-volume set about the American Sheriff. It's called Anderson on Sheriffs. Now, this fellow by the name of Anderson is a lawyer. Of course, he's gone now, but he was a lawyer from Pocatello, Idaho. That's in the eastern part of lower southern Idaho, if I remember right. But he was also a lawyer that practiced law in other places in the country. Well, I've got a couple of those two volumes, and I want to read to you what Herbert Howard.
Hey, Brent, before you go forward on that, let me just ask you a question or two about that course. You say it's 12 weeks long? It's a 12-week course?
Say that again, John.
Did you say
it was... Oh, 12-week course.
Okay. And how many days a week?
Yes. One day a week.
1 day a week, so 12 days over 12 weeks. Let me ask you a question. After that course is completed, if we can drum up more interest in that course, will you do a second course and a third course and as the future goes by, or how would you handle that to continue for the education of other sheriffs that are just getting the word on it? You know, we're sending the message out concerning this course with the book that we're sending out, and to let them know that they can go to your website and get into this course. Now, if they can't make it in time, will you be able to schedule future courses?
I'm having a little trouble hearing, but the way I get it, you're asking, would we be willing to continue if there was interest? And my gut feeling right off the top is yes. And would Sheriff Dyer be interested? I'd want him to be. I think he probably would be interested too. 12 weeks is a lot, but it's not a lot in the grand scheme of what the sheriff is. And I'm, of course, trying to prepare, so I have important things to say. And I'm learning a tremendous amount, and I have learned that the office of sheriff, when I started, I thought this is important. Well, as I look into it, I see even how much more important it is, how much more fundamental. And I've been talking about it for a long time. Well, ever since I was involved in the political world and running for Congress way back in before the flood of Noah, we used to talk about the Second Amendment and the importance of the sheriff, but I don't know. I didn't know then what I know now, but just because you have time to study and learn, and I've written a few books since then and contemplated it. And I, as a personal matter, I myself have tried pretty near everything. I've tried the courts. I've been in front of the jury. I've even been tried in front of the jury myself. I've tried politics. I've run for office. I ran hard, spent a lot of other people's money to do it. And I've tried working within the structures of the church. I've done that. And I've tried a few other angles that may be less visible. But in all of it, and all of it's important in its own way, but when it comes right down to it, I said the other day, forget what goes on in the State House and forget what goes on in the White House. Those people obviously don't know who they are and they don't know what they're doing. And if they do, they're using their offices clearly to destroy the country. There's no question about it at this point, just to destroy our liberties. Don't worry about that. You worry about what goes on in your house. That's what comes home to me, and that is where the sheriff figures in, because the sheriff is more local. And the more local you can get, the more you're getting right down to the ground, and more you're getting right down to what America has always been. America has always been local. The county was the unit of government. The family, of course, is always there as a foundation to everything. When I say the family, I mean just the man and the woman. just the man and the woman, and then add to that the husbandless women and the fatherless children. Where do they fit into that? Well, the Bible talks about all that. That's easy enough. But the bottom line is, when it comes down to what goes on in the powers that be, the sheriff is the foundation block, the bricks, all 3,080 of them, 80-some of them in America. Then they aren't responsible to the federal government, the sheriff, and he's not responsible to the state government. No, he's responsible to keep the peace. He's not even responsible to enforce the law. That's not his fundamental responsibility. That may be some policeman's responsibility. That's what makes that crowd so blasted dangerous. They're out to enforce the law, to keep the code, to obey the orders. That's not the job of the sheriff, never has been. The job of the sheriff is to keep the peace. If he has to arrest somebody to help do that in his unfettered discretion, well, that's what he'll do. If he has to forbear from arresting somebody who's broken the law because in his unfettered discretion he thinks that's the best thing to do, well, that's what he does. And that's why we call him the sheriff, the agent of the shire. Now, that's what the class is going to be about. Let me read something here. I can talk more about it. Thanks for asking those questions, John. Prod me a little. Let me read this preface. This preface to Anderson on Sheriffs. Anderson on Sheriffs, Herbert Howard, I believe he was a lawyer. He wrote the preface to the reprint of this set of volumes in 1982. The book was written, published 1941, reprinted 1982, and Howard says this. Listen to what he says. He says, "Law and order. Law and order. What a righteous sounding expression. But where in America is it to be found in this fourth quarter of the 20th century? In our inner cities? Don't bet your life on it, or you'll probably lose your life in that place. How about the remote hinterlands of our country? Try going against the desires of some bureaucrats and see how quickly they come against you with their squads of unlawful enforcers, no matter where you are. These enforcers are not law enforcement officers. They are bureaucratic regulation enforcement officers." That's a policeman. "And they are violating the rights and liberties of Americans all over the country. And while this is happening, the real law officers stand back and watch it happen, or in some cases, even assist them. It seems that if we have more so-called law now than we ever had, and at the same time we have less order in our society than any time in our country's history." That's a fascinating observation. Law and order, but he says we got a lot of law, more law than we ever had, and less order than we ever had. What's going on? Whatever happened to old-fashioned law and order, he says? I will tell you what happened to it. Somewhere along the line, the good people of America fell asleep at the switch, and during that snooze, the concept of the function of the American government, both state and federal, changed from protecting the God-given rights and liberties and property of the citizens from being plundered to that of a totalitarian state, when everything is considered to be the property of the government and therefore totally controlled by the government. The function of law enforcement changed from protecting rights of Americans to carrying out the will of the now imagined to be sovereign government. There was no amendment to either the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of any of the 50 free and independent states that allowed this. A group of people just silently sneaked into positions of influence and started it happening. Now it has grown to the point where it is almost safe to say that a state of war exists between Americans of the United States and their state and federal governments. Even as this preface, this is 1982, even as this preface is being written, and this book is being prepared to be sent to the printer, a federal judge has upheld a 4-2 decision by the village board of Morton Grove, Illinois, to make it illegal for the Americans of that village to own handguns, in spite of that specific right being secured for them by the Constitution. What can be done about it? Do we have to have a revolution to get things back on the right track again? The answer is no. We don't need a revolution. What we need, he says, is a restoration movement. You see, the other side is already carrying out a revolution. They are the revolutionaries. They are revolting against authority, true authority, our Constitution, our form of government, our law, and they want to install in its place totalitarianism. That's a good point, isn't it? We're not the revolutionaries. They are. We're the ones that want to hold on to law and order and decency. We simply want to keep the government that the ratifiers of our Constitution established. At that time, he says, not quite 200 years ago. Now it's been pushing 240 years. And which worked exceedingly well for the first 150 years. How do we do this? The answer is relatively simple. Make the government obey the law. We do not have to devise a new method of accomplishing this. There is already an existing method, and it is just waiting for us to pick it up and put it into action. That method is to utilize the only legitimate law officer and his support force in America, that is, the sheriff and his posse comitatus. Amen to that. You know, amen means rock solid. Rock solid. I agree. The sheriff is the executive officer of his county. He is to make sure that those who violate the rights of others are to be arrested, given a fair trial, and if guilty, he is to see that the punishment is carried out. To assist him in this function, he may call upon the power of the county, the Latin words posse comitatus. That means power of the county. The American system of limited government was established to secure the people's freedom and to allow them to be left alone. Government was a negative force. It was supposed to appear when something wrong was done so that the wrong could be hopefully righted and then government would fade back into its limited function. American government was never supposed to be an omnipresent influence in every aspect of our lives, such as subsidizing welfare, food production, education, employment, food prices, gasoline prices, and in other areas, such as controlling television programming, union activity, hours of employment, and on and on and on and on, ad infinitum, ad nauseam, until government is into everything. The time has come, in fact, and it is here. The knowledgeable and concerned Americans must use the offices that are properly made available to Americans to restore our law of the land to that end. And he talks about the two-volume set of books called Anderson on Sheriffs. Now, this fellow is a bombastic writer, probably a bombastic talker. Anderson, however, who wrote the book, if you're not careful, he'll put you to sleep. He's a very lawyerly kind of writer. And he piles up the cases and he talks like, well, it seems when you read the cases that this is the case of that. But he's got a lot of good stuff here. And so this book is not to be sneezed at. He begins by talking about the origin of the office of sheriff. He makes the point it's the oldest office known to our common law tradition. And as the office of great dignity and great antiquity, yes, indeed, all that's true. And in England and the American states, the office of sheriff is in existence and is one of the great utility and great responsibilities and on. Well, Sheriff Darr and I were talking 3 days ago or so, day before yesterday, I think it was. And He is of the opinion that the first question we'll answer in this course, he brought this up, I didn't. He said he thinks we'll answer this question because it's the question that people ask him often. And Sheriff Dar has become a lightning rod in Michigan. Well, he's become a visible personality. Not because a lot of people like him. There are a lot of people that don't like him. Well, I shouldn't say, I don't know what they are. I call them people. They're some kind of creatures. I don't know what they are. They are in the newspapers and the government and stuff. But these folk have made him very well known. He said the first question we should answer, the first session, which would be next Thursday at 8 o'clock Western and 11 o'clock Eastern, the first question we should answer is, what is our common law? That's the first question. And I've been years trying to answer that question and trying to find a way to answer it succinctly, clearly, unambiguously, because there are so many answers given. I just got an email from a fellow that is 43 years old. I believe 40-something. And he just got into law school, and he just started. He said, Brent, he emailed me, he said, Brent, you wouldn't believe. He'd read the book on the excellence of the common law, comparative law text. He said, you wouldn't believe. It didn't take me long to figure out. These professors at this law school don't have a clue what the common law is. Professors at law school in the greatest common law country in the world don't know what the common law is. I ask them what it is, and they say to me, it's case law. It's judges' opinions. It's precedent. Well, that is true, that precedent and our courts referring to precedent, other court decisions, is an indispensable part of our common law tradition. Why? Well, because it's the result of the separation of the three powers of government. The courts don't depend upon the executive branch or Congress to tell them what the law is. They depend upon themselves. That's why they cite their own cases. That's called separation of powers. That's we also call it independence of the judiciary. There's another synonym for it. That's a big deal in our common law tradition, and it sets us off from the rest of the world. They're not allowed to do that. The judges are in control of the lawmaker, whoever is the legislator, whether it be a dictator, a group of folks such as a Congress or something, a legislature. The judges have to do what the legislature says. Our judges don't have to do what the legislature says, and they don't always do it. You say, well, I think they're crazy. Well, often they are, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather have that. I've seen it go the other way. I'd rather have that. I'd rather have the independence of the judiciary than I would to say the judiciary has to follow everything Congress tells them to do or the president. That's Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It's bad enough the way it is. How much worse could it be? Well, we're going to talk about the sheriff, because the sheriff is down to the ground, down home, and our common law tradition, our American tradition of government is a common law tradition. The common law tradition is that the sheriff is a powerful personality in the county. This is the way it has arisen in our English-speaking world. The county is fundamental and very powerful. Now, did you ever stop to consider why we have a state called West Virginia? It used to be part of the state of Virginia. But those counties up there took a vote and said, we're out of here. We don't want to be a part of the state of Virginia anymore. The county that Jefferson Davis was president of the Confederacy. His home county in northern Mississippi voted to not leave the Union. I used to live near a place in northern California called Rough and Ready. Rough and Ready, California. The only town in America that voted to leave the Union. Everything was local in those days. Everything. The county courthouse was important. Nobody cared about the state house that much. Or the White House. Or any other house of government. The county courthouse was where the entertainment was, of course. That's where people would sue one another. And every once in a while, they'd sheriff and hang somebody. That happened, too. But that was the center of the community, the courthouse square, even if it was a log building. That was still the center. Well, the county is important, and we're going to talk about the sheriff And the fundamentals, Sheriff Darr said, the other thing we want to define is the difference between a police officer and a peace officer. Is there a difference? He said, I get asked that question a lot. Well, a police officer is a bureaucrat bound to obey the police regulations, the order of the sheriff. See, he has no discretion. As a matter of law, a policeman has no discretion to arrest or not arrest. You break the law, it's not up to him to decide whether or not he can not arrest you, even if you didn't intend to run the stoplight, or who knows, maybe you're speeding because your wife is dying or something, and he wants to stop and give you a ticket. I've had police officers do that to me, trying to get to the hospital with a family member, stop and give me a ticket. I said, look, I got to get to the hospital. But you know what else has happened to me? I mean, this is a good illustration. I've had state troopers, that's a police officer, stop me and wouldn't let me get to the hospital when I was and wanted to give me a ticket. Had a woman in my car. Well, just listen to the rest of the story. So he stopped me. But one other time, I was rushing to the hospital. It was in a neighboring county. We didn't have a hospital in our county. Still don't. I was rushing to a hospital, and I was stopped for speeding. I was going about 95. That was the fastest that car went, by the way. Boy, I had her floorboarded, though. Well, I got stopped. Some kind of an officer had bubblegum machine lights on top, and it was nighttime. I pulled over. What did I get? I get the sheriff's deputy. What did he do? He said, you follow me and stay right on my tail. I'm going to go as fast. I told him I can't go any faster than 95. He said, okay, I'll keep it down to 90. And he said, we get into town, you just watch close. And he said, I'll have my lights on. We'll stop the traffic and I'll get you through the lights and I'll get you out to the hospital. See, that's the difference between a police officer and a peace officer. He had discretion. He didn't have to arrest me if he didn't want to. And he didn't. The other fella is under a duty to arrest people who break the law. You say, well, that's an extreme example. I know a state policeman, or I used to be a state policeman, and I wouldn't have stopped you. Well, maybe not. But that's still the difference. It's an analogy, friends. Don't push it too far. There are exceptions to every rule, and always remember the exception to the rule establishes the rule in cases not accepted. I'll say that one more time, and you can write it down and contemplate it. The exception to the rule establishes the rule in cases not accepted. That's a quote from Sir Francis Bacon. He's right. But just to make the point, the difference between a police officer and a peace officer, and we want to talk about what is peace, P-E-A-C-E, at common law. Not just any peace. You know, Jesus Christ said, I give you peace. I give you peace. Not as the world gives peace. How does the world give peace? Well, absence of war. There will be peace in the Middle East in our time. What does that mean? Absence of war. He said, I don't give you that kind of peace. People crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace, he says. That's not the kind of peace I'm giving. Well, let's talk about peace at common law. Every man has his peace at common law. The king, in the old days, had what they called the king's peace. Our constitution says in the preamble that the reason for this constitution is to ensure domestic tranquility. Well, what's that? That's peace at common law. That's what that is. Well, what is that? You know, Congress is passing statutes. Say, well, all these federal officers are peace officers. Hogwash. Just because Congress says it so, I mean, of all the people who can think they can make black white and white black and legislate the spring to be in the winter, no, they don't have that much power at all. And them saying it so, don't make it so. And they're either a police officer, officer, you're a peace officer. And Congress's declaration, one way or the other, don't mean diddly squat. What does mean something? It means something that there's a history of hundreds, thousands of years of the sheriff being the peace officer. Sheriff Dyer says, get rid of the police. Yeah, I'm all for it. And I'll just give me the money they're getting, and I'll take care of all the towns and cities. We don't need them. We need peace officers in town. Get rid of the police. He has jurisdiction, as every sheriff does, within the city limits of every town. Those people voted for him or against him, too. He's their sheriff. Why do they have police officers? What's the purpose of such a thing? When you can have peace officers, and all you have enough money, just give it to them. Well, he'll talk about things like that. Of course, Sheriff Dyer, I'm just a fellow that reads books and has had some experiences, but Sheriff Dyer, he's boots on the ground and has been, and he's in his fifth, get this, his fifth term. I don't know how, and I see him, and I've been up to visit him, and I, of course, see him on the internet. He looks very young, very young. Of course, he told me when he got elected the first time, he was the second youngest sheriff in the state. He said, didn't know much. He was green and wet behind the ears. There was a tough learning curve he had to go through. But he's maintained his youthly look. Well, at any rate, he's going to be teaching it with me. And I appreciate John. Let me say a few words. My comments are my own. They may or may not be the point of view of any other of the principals at National Liberty Alliance, and they're nice enough to let me say a few words. But I do think that this is important. I want you to sign up. It's no small matter. There will be little homework assignments. If you don't do your homework assignments, I won't be able to discipline you in any meaningful way. But if you do the homework assignments, there's a certificate at the end, and I would appreciate it because it helps us all. All I'm going to ask you to do is write six sentences a week, just six sentences. Three sentences about what you know for sure, the little reading I give you, three sentences saying what you know for sure it says, and three sentences saying what you know for sure it does not say. And one's just as important to the other when it comes to interpreting writings of legal significance. This is Brent Allen Winters. The website is www.commonlawyer.com. That's where you can sign up for the sheriff's course. No, sign up for the sheriff's course. And back to John. Is it you or Gerard that's there?
Nope, I'm here today. I don't know if Gerard's around.
Okay, John.
Thanks. Hi, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And, you know, with what Sheriff Dyer has said concerning no need for a police force, we here at National Liberty Alliance agree 100%. As a matter of fact, look at one of the things would happen if you got rid of the police is that the local courts wouldn't have any funding to for their continuance. I mean, they continue to. These courts exist. You were talking about town courts, village courts. All these are administrative courts. Ultimately, they're really... And the commercial court that could apply righteously under equity could still be run in county courts or in a state court. It doesn't necessarily have to have a town or a city or a village court. I do know that New York City's courts are claimed to be, like all state courts, claimed to be courts of record. But generally speaking, county courts are not courts of record. They're equity courts. They may be different than other places, but that's the way it seems to be here in New York. Getting rid of the police department would allow more peace officers, as Brent had mentioned and Dar had mentioned. And that's what we do need, is more peace officers. There wouldn't be tickets and all these other things going on. Of course, on the commercial end, tickets would be appropriate. And I would imagine the state police would be enforcing that if there was a need for that, too. Again, I think the sheriff office really needs to control all the police services within the county and should be under their wing. And if even if they continue under another name, they still have to be under the authority of the sheriff. And the great thing about a sheriff that understands his knowledge people have to realize that if you're being abused by the federal government, that ends in the county where the sheriff is a constitutional officer. It ends there. That's it. It's done. Because once that sheriff understands the law, the true law of the land, understands their duty to protect and to serve the people, then at that point, no federal officer can come into that county and serve any papers on anyone without first notifying the sheriff and showing the sheriff their papers of authority. And of course, the discretion goes back to the sheriff whether they have papers of authority or not. Take a hike, you know, don't come into my county. Because they all too often, federal government comes in to abuse the people. I mean, they have no authority, no jurisdiction to rule or control the people. So the idea to get rid of a lot of the police forces is a great idea. Is there a need for any of them? Again, I can't think of much. There is a situation, of course, someone has to enforce the commercial laws. And again, that's equity. So there must be some police force for that. And the only thing I could think of at that point might be a county police or a state police or something like that. But again, that should be minimum anyway. Okay, with that, we're going to go to Q&A. Jan or Terry, if you see Gerard come in, let me know. And we'll just take it from here. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll take our first person. Looks like Ross is still, I guess you got back into the queue, you're first in line, so we'll go with Ross. You got the mic. Did you have another comment or question?
Yes, I agree with you about eliminating the police forces in the cities.
Yep, and the townies and the villages. So I mean, you know,
sheriff should be this.
You good?
You're saying that you want the sheriff be the main person for the whole county, the peace officer.
That's right. Yes, all the funding that any state receives for police forces, counties, towns, or anything could go to the sheriff. And again, there might be a need, I would think that there is a need, for maybe a county police or the state police, I don't know, one that could enforce only commercial law, you know, equity. And of course, they can also enforce the required things within the government agencies within that state, whatever is within their lawful legislation. And again, no legislation could be made to control the behavior of the people. So. Mm-hmm. All right, anything else, Ross, before we move on?
No, you can move on.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let us take our next caller, Heather Lee. You got the mic, go right ahead, Heather Lee. How you doing?
Yes, John, I have a couple of things. First of all, one of the things with the sheriff right now, and I think that Dara, I've talked to Dara about this, but the problem is that they're funded by the corporate. They're still funded by the corporate. Hopefully the RV is the new funding will eliminate that incentive of these sheriffs, especially in the state of Michigan, if not across the nation, to comply to the corporate desires and the corporate codes and unlawful statutes that they bring up out of nowhere. They have been complying to that. And actually, I do believe that they have actually been paid to come against Dar, where he was accepted prior to that. Of course, the cabal got in there. I'm sure that Governor Whitless got in there and did her conjuring up of magic with the elite satanics and came against him. Now, I'm just thinking that in all the venues across the nation, in every county where there's a sheriff, like I said, the biggest thing is where money talks. And that is, I believe, the core. If we can get them off the dole, of course the corporate's dead, but still, if that transition is made, I think that and the sheriffs understand what their role is. Of course, your book is going to help that. If they read it, and if they adhere to their oath of office under the Constitution. Now, if all of that comes into line, we've got our sheriffs back, and I'm truly believing that that's going to happen. Anyway, that's just a comment. The second thing
let me respond to that before you go to
sure,
the second
Sure, go ahead.
Thing.
I have a second part of
right.
that.
I appreciate what you're saying here, and it is the truth. We do have some problems here with money and sheriffs that don't understand, but look at it's been the point of view of National Liberty Alliance, and we try to put this point of view that to others, that we have to realize that people whether they're sheriff or holding other offices, have been as dumbed down as we the people are. And so, you know, they don't know what to do. They've never been properly trained. They're trusting in their superiors and the people in charge of their training to have given them the proper training. And they're doing what they're taught to do. And that started off in grammar school, you know, the children are being taught not how to think, but what to think. And and that's been going on through, you know, grammar school, right into high school, into college, and if they went to college, and any other instructional things that they went through. Police officer might go through the academies and different things, or the sheriff. So they can only do information received and then the reaction out. You know, we're giving them a whole new perspective, something they've never seen, something that will shock their world, that'll rock their world, I believe. Because, again, you know, let's take the book, Government by Consent. It's got over 1,600 footnotes. It's completely documented. Nothing there is not without a reference to where this information comes from and how it could be looked up to see that this is accurate, historical facts that we have researched to put into this book to inform and to instruct and to empower and to bring forth justice. And so that's what will empower these people. But, you know, the book has a lot of great reviews. I think we have 10 reviews in the book, something like that. And very focused, short and sweet, and focused, and really gives enough information to the potential reader to want to read this book. This is a book for me, in other words, from the sheriff, but this is a book for people, too. Okay, if the people look at that, too, this is a book for me. So it works both ways, whether it's for the people or for the sheriff or for anybody in elected office. Also the preface, which I think is 20 pages, maybe a little more in the book, but the preface lays out a good synopsis of what this book is all about. And if it doesn't draw the sheriff in at that point, then there is no salvation for that individual to maintain their office, and they need to be removed. And when we get to the other side, the people will be able to remove that sheriff. All right. So this won't be in vain what we're doing here. It's very important that we do this. We do get some email from some people say, "Why bother?" You know. First, the other thing is. Again, I know you're not. I know you're not. But I'm saying we do get some email people who do say that. But, you know, the other thing we have to remember and think about is, again, as I mentioned, information received, and that's it. They have to respond off their knowledge base, and their knowledge base has been instructed to them and just given to them, and they believe it's true. Once they're woken up, okay, it's a whole new focus. They'll have an epiphany. They'll have their, you know, Helen Keller moment. And then hopefully respond, and I think most sheriffs will do that. The other thing is connecting the sheriffs not only to the committees of safety, but sheriffs to sheriffs. And
right.
That's why we referred them not only to come to our website to get a further education, lots of information, but also to head over to Brent Winter's website also so that he can connect with other sheriffs. We want to encourage the sheriffs to connect with sheriffs within their state, to organize, to empower each other, to get together when it's necessary to fight off an abusive federal government agent coming into the county. And if necessary, other sheriffs from other counties can come in to back them up. And they need to back each other up. I mean, that's what Sheriff, goodness, what's that sheriff's name again? I don't know why I can't think of his name. Excuse me?
Mac.
Sheriff Mac.
Yeah.
That's what Sheriff Mac did. I believe he had two or three other sheriffs from other counties to work with him to kick the feds out of their county.
Mm-hmm.
And when a sheriff pops up and says and brings forth, resistance to any federal agent, the federal agent's going to back off. They may try to push back beyond that, but once that sheriff pushes back, they're going to back off. And especially if that sheriff is backed up by other sheriffs, because they're not going to go up against sheriffs. They're just not going to do it. It's not going to happen. So if you want to be protected, okay, from the federal government, if you're being abused from the federal government and you need protection, you need to make sure you have a sheriff that understands the law, that understands the common law and the Constitution, the authority he has, and the backbone. You have to give him the backbone. The backbone grows only through knowledge. They got to get that backbone. Once they get that backbone, nothing will stop them. So I think when we look at our sheriffs, if we have maybe 2% or 4% of the sheriffs, and I think it'll be a lot lower than that even, but I'll just say 2 to 4%, that just don't care and just ignore the book and ignore the knowledge and continue on their way.
Take them out.
They're gonna find themselves in jail is what's going to happen because obviously they're corrupt. To kick them out, but in jail because I think they'd be corrupt. But go ahead with your next point.
The other thing is, I was wondering how many books were ordered for the sheriffs in Michigan. Do you have any off the top of your head?
Well, no, not an exact number, but there was quite a few going out to Michigan, if I recall.
Okay, because I bought a couple going out.
A lot going out to Pennsylvania, a lot going out to New York, there's some states that there's a lot going on. There's some states have nothing. Okay, look, we really need the people to get involved with this and to push forward this campaign for constitutional sheriffs. Not only, give yourself, if you can afford a book, and some people maybe can afford 5, 10, 20 books. Again, we've had one person who bought 28 books for 28 sheriffs. We had another person, 24 books for 24 sheriffs. If you could do something like that, that would be very much appreciated by all the people because we have to get these books out. But also, everyone should at least go out and buy one book for their sheriff. And if your sheriff already has a book, okay, it'll go to another sheriff. But, don't ask me if your sheriff has a book or not, because if he does have a book, why would you not give a book anyway? We got to get books into all of our sheriff's hands, and he needs backup, sheriff to sheriff. So, everybody should do that, and also tell other people about our campaign for a constitutional sheriff. Encourage them to come out to National Liberty Alliance, not only to get an education for themselves, but to get an educated sheriff, because the sheriff is the first line of defense, of protection. Guaranteed, if the sheriff is as knowledgeable as the knowledge we are trying to give to these sheriffs in this book alone and what Brent is giving and what Sheriff Darr is doing, if these sheriffs are knowledgeable in these areas, I promise you the people in that county will become safe. It only takes a phone call. I have my sheriff on speed dial. I've never had to call him, but he's on speed dial. And I've had my conversation.
So is mine.
Yeah, and so I'm not, and everybody should be in that situation. You should have a connection with the sheriff. Work it out through the committees of safety. If there's a group of people going up to talk with the sheriff, maybe other liberty groups, connect with them and go also. But really push towards the committee of safety, support the sheriff, get connected. Let's take these towns and bring them back under the Constitution. Let's close down these unlawful courts systems, the village courts, the town courts, the city courts. Let's close them down and get rid of them. And let's get rid of most of the police forces. And let's have liberty again. You know, and people won't have to worry.
There's another part to this I need to talk to you about, John, quickly here. Mm-hmm. It's Simon Parks and Charlie Ward put out a declaration today, okay, of the God-man, okay, and it is in accordance and compliance to the Constitution of the United States. And they did this globally, okay, and they did it very succinctly and distinctly today. And you need to look at a copy, I do believe, because it complies to the Constitution. And they had several people work on it for a long time that were knowledgeable of the Constitution of the United States. And they put this thing together. I think that it would interest you.
What's the document name?
Huh?
It's a document that they created?
Yes. Yes.
And what's the name of the document? Where can it be found?
It's called, I mean, I could send it to you on Skype, but it is called the God-man. Let's see, I had it here. I'm going to have to bring it up. Anyway, I can send it to you. It's called the God-man Declaration.
If you can find it while we're talking, that'd be good too, because then other people can hear about it and look too. But
Okay. Well, the other thing is, I'm thinking that because of their platform to the world, to the patriots, and not only to the United States, but to the world, and also Simon Parks is working within the United States with the White Hat, and I'm thinking that he needs a book. He needs your book. He needs to know about your book. He needs to know, both of them need to know about your book. And when they get that book in their hands, I do believe it's a perfect timing that it could be promoted and blasted all over the world. And I think it's time.
Well, get a hold of, get the information to Francine. As far as name
and address, I talked to her on a business meeting.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll try to get a book out to them. And anybody that can help, purchase books for people like this, let me know. And just purchase a matter of fact.
Well, I can purchase one for Simon Parks.
Okay.
I'll do that because I think it's that imperative. I think it's imperative that book be in his hands. And in Charlie Ward.
And anybody else that could think of anyone else as a person that might assist us in getting the word out and be an individual that it would really benefit to have that knowledge because they're in a position to do something like, whatever they're doing, to really push forward the Constitution and bring these people back.
Well, this is the thing of the hour. Yeah, this is the thing of the hour right now. And the other thing that was,
Well, let me just finish that. Anybody that thinks that someone should have a book, get the name and the address for that person to Francine at nationallibertyalliance.org. And if you can make a donation on that, that would be good. Just go up and make a donation, whatever you can, and then send me an email. Send it to John, but send it to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org and speak to me, dear John. In the mail, so I get it. Anybody that send anything to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org, all of the leadership gets a copy of that, and different people will respond to different things, and sometimes things do fall kind of on the wayside and we miss out, but we do try to respond to what we can. But, just send a note to me that, hey, I put in for a donation for this individual. The person's name is this, and here's their address, and this is their website, or this is what they're doing, and this is where you can see them on YouTube, or whatever it is. People that will help spread the news. And the news is how we can have government by consent. But
yeah,
go right ahead.
I just had one more thing. I want to address the lawsuits for the experiment, the vax, and the concoction of the influenza COVID, supposed COVID-19, which is not. Anyway, those things
well,
that
I
are
I think
not.
A lot of those people are going to hang, specifically the people that spearheaded a lot of this stuff. And again, I think
I
a lot of it's going to be
mm-hmm.
A lot of that is going to be under military courts.
Tribunals.
And it belongs there. It belongs there because we're at war. But some will also fall under the people, and there'll be and we're doing of course.
Let me just finish. Okay. If we go against with lawsuits, let me just address it as Big Pharma. I mean, this covers the CDC and the WHO and the and all who they are. And I'm just saying that if everyone put a lawsuit in for $1 million across the world, not just the United States, but even I'm just thinking of NLA, if there was a corner of our world that we could do our part in this and putting a joinder lawsuit like we did with Twitter, Google, Facebook, we could put one in and put Big Pharma out of business. We would take them to their
Big
knees
Pharma
and put
definitely,
completely
yeah.
out of, huh?
Yeah, Big Pharma definitely has to go out of business. They're destructive. They're giving poison to the people.
There's
just like
no
a lot
need
of these,
for them.
Yeah, just like a lot of these corporate farms, they're destroying our food. They're destroying our soil.
Exactly.
So our
That's
food.
That's part of Big
and,
Pharma. That's part of Big Pharma, John.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Look, if anybody really has a medical problem, doctors are really great at putting people back together when they're broken up in a car accident or something like that, surgery. I mean, it's fantastic, unbelievable the things that they can accomplish.
Well, that's a
do.
Different story.
But,
we're talking about
right.
a machine.
Right. Well, when
a
we
money
get
that, machine.
You're talking about what now?
We're talking about a money laundering machine.
Oh, yeah,
Big
absolutely.
Pharma.
That's what they're all about, but they're giving poison to the people. You know, people
exactly.
think that if you've got a heart problem, you've got a cholesterol problem, you've got a problem with your liver or your kidneys or
cancer
something.
Cancer is created.
But the point is that if you've got these problems and you go to a doctor and you think that you're getting something, all it's doing is masking the ailments and it's not curing the problem. And in a lot of cases, you'll even die from some of these things even quicker than if you would have just done nothing. Okay.
Exactly. And that's
now,
the goal.
If you go to a place, there's a couple of doctors online in YouTube. Matter of fact, you can find them on our website. If you go to our website, let me see if I can get to that real quick, and come under the news and click on the real news. Okay. Now, here's a lot of different places you can get some good information. But down on the bottom here, towards the end, I put two doctors, Dr. Berg and Dr. John Bergman. Now, Dr. Berg is really, really good. He gives a lot of his videos are like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They're very short. Gets to the point. He focuses in on different medical problems. He gives you why, what caused this problem, and then how to solve the problem. And it's all natural. And it's amazing. Just about everything that they claim cannot be cured can be cured. I don't know that there's anything that can't be cured. If you've got a problem, a disease of some type, as long as an organ isn't destroyed, you can cure the problem. In every case that I'm aware of, if you have a kidney problem, liver problem, if you got sleep apnea, if you're going bald, if you just the list goes on and on and on and on. Yeah. These people
and
have
naturopathics. It has a cure. I'm an MD, and I know that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and Dr. John Bergman, he's really good on exposing the fraud in these medical journals that these doctors are
major
operating
fraud.
On as if it's some kind of a truth. And he lays it out, but his programs are long, usually 45 minutes and longer. But he'll take you right through the studies that they claim that these medical journals will claim that the study proved this and proved that. And he'll go to the studies
and
lay them out and show it. It proves the opposite.
They're alive.
Pharmaceuticals are going to kill you. And they also have no idea on what happens when you take more than one, the reaction between the two and the three. And, of course, there's other problems over here. Aspirin is just horrible. And
let me tell you, my sister took two of one narcotic. She took an extra one, and it killed her.
Yeah, it's dangerous stuff. This stuff, people need to go get the cure. Stop going to these voodoo doctors. We need to revamp the entire medical system just like we do the legal system. Bar attorneys have got to go. The bar has to be shut down. They're criminals. They're destructive to our republic.
Absolutely.
Guilty of subversion, and they need to be shut down. Every problem we have, whether it's with pharmaceutical, it's the lawyers that are behind it,
and the judges,
and the push in order to get this, because there's money in it for them, and it's money in it
and
for
the
people
judges,
that they're backing.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Final word. We've got a couple more people still. Final word. I'm fine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We've got at least two other callers, so I think we'll be able to get them both in. Alberto, you got the mic. Rodriguez. Alberto. You got the mic, Alberto. Did someone just mute him, or did he? Okay, you unmute yourself. Go ahead, Alberto. We're not hearing anything on this end, so we'll move to the next caller. If you want, get back into the queue and maybe get your mic fixed. We're still not hearing you. It looks like you're trying to do something with your mic. You are unmuted at this point, but not hearing anything. Okay, if you want, try to get back into the queue. I'm going to go to the next caller, and if you can fix your mic. And anybody else has a question, we still have another 20 minutes roughly, so still taking calls. Someone from North Carolina, you got the mic. And the queue is empty right now, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1. North Carolina.
Yes, sir. Greetings, Mr. John DeRash. And,
how are you doing, John?
I must tell you, I wish that I could have been able to hear from the beginning always. You learn so much on these calls.
Well, you can always go back and get the recording. We do have the recording. We don't have the video up on the recording, but we will have the video with the recording once we get things going on Rumble or some other website where we can post our videos on a weekly basis.
Oh,
and also, do a live simulcast with our Monday night program. And anybody that can assist us with that, get a hold of Jan@NationalLibertyAlliance.org. That's Jan@NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Let him know you're interested. He'll connect you up with me, and we'll talk about it and try to make a plan on how we can go about getting things going to get our videos up. But go right ahead.
Okay, I'm not going to try to take up too much time. There might be some other callers there.
We got two others in the queue.
Good, great. I've got my case coming up tomorrow, and I have for the last 4 or 5 days, been intensely researching and putting the documents together, even as we speak. I'm bringing documents out of my computer that have been served in that court. I don't want to go in length about that court because you and all your other parties there, Mr. Jerry Apria or Gerard, as some people know him, is quite knowledgeable, and I think about everybody else there, Jan would be so too. So I tried for the last several days, knowing you guys were, with family and so forth, trying to get a hold of Jan especially. Because back in time, maybe in the last year and a half to 2 years ago, I supplied by research a complete download of the Black's Law Book, the 6th edition, for the benefit of you guys because you're all the time dealing with legalities. And so the 6th edition is the centennial from 1891 to 1991. And it was published by Westlaw. I am in the process. I'm going to buy one of these books as to be definitive, just like I am going to buy some of the books, or me and David out of Charlotte, North Carolina, are going to buy some of your books there that presently need to go to the sheriff and et cetera. With that said,
Before you go any further, let me respond a little bit to that. Don't waste your money on the sixth edition. The best edition is, I believe it's the fourth edition, and there is also a second edition. We have the second edition, we have the fourth edition, and we were giving it away for free for quite some time, and then the people who control that told us to stop. They didn't ask us. They said stop because, you know, that's copyrighted stuff, and we have the copyright, and that's not lawful. And so we did take it down for a while. And I looked into it, and there was, but and not long after my conversation with this person, their copyrights ended, and so therefore we put it back up. We haven't heard back from them anymore, but we will ignore them at this point. There is no more copyright process in it. But I'm trying to look just to let people know where they can find this book. I'm pretty sure I'm on the right page.
Let me sure tell you this, Mr. John, not to be lengthy.
If you want these books, you can download them. And what's really nice about downloading them, they're electronic. You could do word searches, and you can get a lot of stuff real quick than a hard copy book.
Excuse me, you're so a point to being exactly what I was trying to do, and that was to try to find where I could download and pay the company for this, if I could have found the, and I never could get to the sixth, and it just so happens
there's nothing to pay them anymore, and I'll tell you exactly where you can download it for free, okay? This is free to the people. Look, this is a very important book that people should have access to understand law, okay, and understand the different laws involved and what equity is and what a court of law is, and there are 51 jurisdictions that are covered in Black's Law. Now, I may be off one or two here one way or the other, but I did go through to count them, and I think my count is accurate. There are 51 jurisdictions. One of the two jurisdictions that apply to we the people here in the United States, and one is law itself, and law means common law. It doesn't mean anything else other than common law. Even though they call it equity, legislative law, it is really... it's equity, it's statutes, it's codes, it's regulations meant only for people working in the commercial activities interstate and the federal level, or people who are working for different government agencies. They're controlled by this. The president's controlled. Congress is controlled all by equity. And they have their powers and authorities through equity, and it should be in harmony with the Constitution, and if it's not, it's null and void. But, you know, that's where, you know, we have to understand people who want to look deeper into this. So anyway, you can find the books under come under education, come down to court education, court forms, processes, and instructions.
Said come down to courts?
Listen. Go to education. I'm doing it right now. If you're on a browser and you can see, I'm doing it right now. Highlight education, come down to the one before the end, right above Harmony of the Gospel, you'll see court forms, processes, and instructions. If you don't see that, it's because you're not a premier member. And a premier member of National Liberty Alliance is someone who gives $5 a month or more. And there's two areas that you can then see. This is one of them. In order to get into our courses, you have to be a member. But you don't have to You don't have to be a premier member, okay? But you do have to be a member. To get into the course, Government by Consent is the only course that we require people to be a premier member. And again, a premier member is $5 a month or more. That's a cup of coffee and a bagel once a month, give it up, and it's probably good for health to give up the bagel anyway. But anyway, on this page, Court Forms, Processes, and Instructions, you come down to Downloads. And here we have Sir Edward Cook, we have Maxims of Law from Brovier's, we have Lawful Money, Court Procedures, Civil Procedure, Brovier's Law, 1856, and then Black's Law, Second Edition, and Black's Law, 4th edition. I use the 4th edition exclusively, okay? As the new ones come out, the 5th, the 6th, little by little, they're changing the meanings of things. They're deleting things, you know. They're doing what they're doing on social media, you know. They're taking control and erasing things that they don't like. And they've been doing that for a long time. It takes a long time to be able to change the meaning of a word And when it comes into something like Black's Law, it takes a very long time. But they're doing it. They're changing meanings of things. But Black's Law second edition is also available, and I use that as a backup. But go ahead, Dan.
I've already tried the second and the fourth, and I found the fourth to its entirety. But you'll really appreciate this about 10 seconds worth here. I used a Black's Law, Centennial, from 1891 to 1991, and it was published in 1990. And I've got all the notes inside from a Black's Law that belongs to David Russ in Shalote. But the truth of the matter is, we were having to put the book on top of the copier, and it was just a havoc. And so all my notes of what I need and printouts, David helped me to a right good degree, but I'm still absent of all of the locations. I know the exact page and everything, but only the Black's Law, the sixth edition that was published in 1990. By the way, this is not a advertisement for Westlaw, but Westlaw's, I believe, is the one and some other contributing editors.
Yeah, but one of the problems with those sources of information is that most of it doesn't have much of anything to do with we the people in courts of law, and whether it be contract law, which would be a civil situation, or criminal. As long as you're in a court of law, where a jury, where the people decide, none of that applies. And it shouldn't even apply even if you use a judge. I mean, look, if you have a civil case, And you know that the courts are reasonably just, and it could be a lot quicker going through a judge to make the decision than going through a jury. But okay, you have to be. We have to have just judges, and that's a problem. So you can have a civil court run in under a judge to make a decision. You can agree to that, but the problem, of course, is that we don't have just courts. But when you go to all these places to get this information, maybe to look up different decisions of the court and so on and so forth, and trying to use that as leverage to prove a case and to make a point, in most cases it's irrelevant, really, because a thing similar is not exactly the same thing. So you could pick up a case that's similar to your case, but you really can't apply it to your case because a thing similar is not exactly the same thing. Now, when I use any kind of a Supreme Court decision or any, whether it be a state Supreme Court or the federal Supreme Court, when I use those decisions that they've made, I only use it to make the point of a meaning of things or the common law conclusion of things. So if you read through it, it's always a constitutional, a common law situation, talks about particularly being sovereign and different things of that nature. Only for the conversation and to make the points in order to argue the case, because the case is really about the facts of the case and laying out those facts and then making sure that you're interpreting the meaning of those words in a right way. And again, that's where I would only use other cases. But again, using cases to prove a case in most cases is irrelevant because, again, the thing similar is not exactly the same thing, and that's a common law maxim. The other thing is when you look into the courts, into the books, you have to be really careful when you read these things because they're talking about law with 51 different jurisdictions. And you only want to talk about things with the jurisdiction of law. And if you're involved in an equity case, then equity. Now, equity, there's only one true equity. Okay, one true equity falls under a common law republic. Okay, there's civil law that they may call equity maybe in other places, but it's not equity at all. It's civil law. And has nothing to do with we the people here, at least not in the United States. So again, those 51 jurisdictions, you have to be very careful to understand what jurisdiction you're in when you're looking at that stuff and so on. But to use the books, I've used them and I continue to use them really to make the position and show, the different jurisdictions that one applies here, applies there. It doesn't apply to me and that kind of thing. And also to help build cases concerning the meaning of things under common law, especially through, court decisions. But back to you, Dan.
I concur to what you said, and I approached it just exactly as this, because you have trained us for over the last several years to certainly pay due attention to what is the real law given from our grand creator, and that is the inalienable rights from there right on to more particularly any torts that have to do with common law and the procedures therefore in regard to protecting your rights and preserving your rights and presenting a case under whatever court that you would find yourself in, and a lot of them are not common law courts. However, there is the Seventh Amendment and there's the Sixth Amendment, and I know you know that very well, but still those jury trials where you get juries and you get before this particular judge, he's going to do everything he can. When I say judge, I'm being liberal here. There are no judges in these courtrooms. They are administrative hearing officers at best.
Yeah, and some of them,
beg your pardon?
They're tyrants.
You're what now?
Well, they are tyrants. Those judges are tyrants.
Yes, absolutely. I totally wholeheart. That sums it up better than I could have ever done. And I agree. And for the most part, occasionally you will find someone that's there and it's not too much indoctrinated into the color of law and criminal enterprise that's going on in 314, I believe it is, counties or whatever. You can correct me on that. Nevertheless, the point is that I use David Russ's Black's Law Book, and it does make distinctions between color law and equitable law and very Roman law and various other different types of law that is inside of that, and you have to watch what you're doing, and you do have to pay attention to the definitions and the legal terms. It's just that I'm at the 11th hour right now at this minute, and I tried to get a hold of Jan and all you guys for the last about 3 or 4 days. I did get a hold of Mr. Jerry Napria, and we were talking about David's case, and I'm not going to go but just a second here, because it's 12 o'clock, right dead midnight. And so, but immediately, Mr. Jerry Aprea, he's pretty astute, and he said, Dan immediately said, I see what you guys are dealing with, or David's case there in Brunswick County. He says, I see that case was arrest judicata, and that you guys performed those documents, and now this judge has come out and trying to rope you into some kind of tribunal, and is also in the same documents are violating David Russ's due process of law. Well, it's way worse than that, but he saw it.
I think I told you, the only way you're going to be able to deal with that is to deal with challenging the fact that they have hijacked you into jurisdictions unknown, and you're not getting due process, and you need to move it to the next court. And that
Absolutely.
Next court may be a state court. I don't know. Again, I don't remember what court you're in. I think you said you were in a county court, right?
Yes, sir. I'll be honest with you. I only mention that for just a second. I'm trying to tell you that the research that I did in the Blacks, I've already done it. I've been researching around the clock, and it's due diligence to put David's case. Definitely, he's got a probate violation, a case that should have gone through probate, and the young man has never received his property per his parents' will. They stole it out from under him, and so my case
but
is pretty...
If you opened up a court of record, you can sue that court directly instead of going through any kind of an appeal. And then once you've gone through that opening a court of record and you make your judgments, I'm about ready to do that in a case right now. And once that's done and they ignore that, because that's what they're going to do, that's when you move it into federal court for cause. But again, you're in county court. I would think you'd want to move it into the state court first on the state level. And you're probably not going to get justice there, then move it into the federal court for cause. Now, there's a good chance you'll get satisfaction and justice in the federal courts, because there's no skin in the game for the judge in this case. You know, it's a case that, you know, it's not that he's got to maintain the status quo on anything that I can see anyway, so that, you know, he may press them to work out a deal with you or maybe actually make the ruling for you on that behalf. But
right.
you remember, what you're going to get out of that is, that's why you need to open a court of record first, so that you have a standing, okay, and you control of that court. You sue them, make your final conclusions on that in justice, and press it forward, and then, again, move it to the state and then look into the federal to get satisfaction. And remember, when you go into a federal court, they can only hear things that that are concerned constitutional issues. They you can't get into the details.
Law has to be there.
Right. So your compensation comes from the violation of your unalienable rights. That's where the compensation comes from, that you can get the federal court to rule on you. And then at that point, you can then take it back and press it forward and maybe even, you know, move it over to the sheriff for collection.
I agree. I must admit, time is of essence here. It's 2:03 a.m.
Yeah, I
got to
move on, so, yeah.
And yes, sir. So the only reason the primary reason to calling in is I need someone to come to my aid, and if they found a Black's Law 6th edition, the centennial from 1891 to 1991, and it was actually written in 1990. And
yeah, bear in mind, that means they made a lot of changes, and 1990s were a terrible year. And the changes that they were going to make in there. But again, why do you need that one? And what are you looking for?
I'm trying to tell you is my notes I've done and gone through, and I've done and submitted the documents that are parallel to this in that court. And they're already there. Been so many months ago.
Yeah, but if you look that up in the second edition or the fourth, look at the fourth edition, because the second edition we have.
John, I'm trying to tell you
You're not listening to what I'm saying. Dan. Listen to what I'm saying, Dan. Dan, listen to what I'm saying, okay? Understand it's not going to work because you're looking at a page number to look at another. Forget the page number. Look at the term that's involved. You'll have a one-word term, whatever that may be, that is giving you the information and expounding on whatever it is you're looking at and maybe give you some court references, you know, some decisions that were made. Well, take that word and run it through the fourth edition, and you will find it.
Oh, there's no question. Yes, there's no question. I've done and looked through the fourth edition for over 2 hours. I'm trying to explain to you that I'm under duress. My documents are such that I went a week now completely from one page to the next page to back off all the way through them documents.
Hold on, because Jan wanted to comment in here. Jan, go ahead.
Dan, I would have gone back through January 23rd of this year, and I don't find any document that you sent me that had the 6th edition of Black's Law.
No, it was in the last 2 years, Mr. Jan, and we were on the phone, and you found it for us. You had the 6th edition.
Well, we don't have. I don't have the 6th edition.
We've never had the 6th edition.
Only the 2nd and the 4th. Yep. And we have Bouvier's also.
I'm totally confused. This is not what I sent in to you in the last 2 years. It was a complete composite. It's about 1900 and maybe 65 to. It's just under 2,000 pages.
If you look on your browser right now, I have it open up on my browser, and it's 1,956 pages for Black's Law 2nd edition. Again, it should be very close.
That's exactly right. It's definitely just under 2,000 pages.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, folks, there will be no way that I can stay up tonight and go through, I tried it for 2 hours with the fourth. And don't get me wrong, I know what you were telling me. And the fourth and the second, but I have to
Look at the second has 1,335 pages. But we're not going to be able to get anywhere with this tonight, and there are a couple other people we still wouldn't want to try to get before we close down.
Let's just cut it then. But out of respect.
But I can't help you at all with the sixth. I have no opportunity of the sixth. I don't have the sixth. I only have the second and the fourth, and they're both up online. That's all I have. Okay. I've never had anything other than that either.
That is help. If it's not there, you've helped me. I looked for different times, Saturday, Sunday, yeah. And I went in.
Yeah, we definitely don't have it. You'll have to. You know what? If you want to try to find a copy of it, and you know, you might be able to just run your Google search or whatever search, run your search through your search engine, and put in the edition, but at the end put in PDF. Okay. So whatever you write, put in PDF in the end, so only PDF searches will pop up, and there's more of an opportunity. You'll find it quicker if it's available.
Let's move on. Let's move on and let you get through, because it's 208 right now.
Yes, we got to go. Okay,
thanks, sir. Thank you, Mr. Dan. Thank you, Mr. John.
Okay, we got a couple more callers. We're going to try to take them all, but let's try to make it quick. They'll have to be short, and if you want to get more in-depth, we'll have to do it next week. But let's take, we'll start off with Amy. You're next. Go ahead. You got the mic.
Oh, sure. Another caller mentioned that you guys had a big tech lawsuit joiner with the social media, like a Facebook, Twitter.
Yes, we sued all of them, Facebook, Google, goodness, what's the other one? Twitter, and so Facebook, Twitter, Google, and there was another one. I don't know why I can't think of the name of it.
Is it possible to join the joiner?
Well, what it is on that one, on that particular case, we sued for $1 billion each. One of them defaulted. Facebook defaulted. And so we're trying to collect off of Facebook. The judge is trying to overturn it, but they haven't officially overturned it yet. But they're going through that process, and I'm about ready to file some new papers on that. I just got to find the time to write them. And the other three will win hands down if we get it into a jury, which we do intend to get it into a jury. By the time we finish with this case, though, it may be on the other side, and they just won't be around no more, so the potentials of the monies may not be available, but we'll do what we can to get it. And what we'll use that money for, and we made it clear in the case that we would use it to re-educate the people. So we would use that to really give people a lot of information, free education, lots of stuff, and even make the book available potentially for free to some degree, because we would have a lot of money to eat off of. We would be able to create a much better website that will give a better political perspective and an understanding of each of the different offices that people run for office for. Whether it be on the town levels, the county levels, the village levels, the state levels, or the federal levels, and the different people that these elected individuals appointments. Okay, for instance, they may appoint the commissioners. Well, who appoints those commissioners? Because when a commissioner does a problem or some person that was appointed, well, you got to find out who, if you can't correct them, you got to find out who appointed them and threaten their job force them to enforce the law upon the individual that they appointed or get rid of that person and bring in another. And this is where the power of the jury comes in, the power of the grand jury and the trial jury to enforce these things and to make it happen quickly. So, again, we're not suing for money to put into our pockets. We're not suing for money on behalf of individuals. We're suing for money on behalf of all the people to put a place for free education, to re-educate the people. So that's what our lawsuit is about on that. And we did get one default, like I said, $1 billion default, and there are three more $1 billion that we plan on winning eventually. So...
I was interested in joining. I mean, I joined the Trump big tech lawsuit, but it only covers mm-hmm. Twitter, Facebook, and I think Google,
mm-hmm.
which include YouTube. But
YouTube is another one. Yes, that's the other one.
I was interested in getting my LinkedIn account back because I had like all my 35 years work experience of connections, like 2,500 to 3,000 connections, and they just boom, it's gone. You can never get it back. They said so. So I just wanted to get it back, and I wanted to get justice. And then also, just a week or two ago, I was banned off my universities. They have it's like a joke, probably. I don't even think anyone uses it. It's called GetSet, but it's their own social media platform that I think all these universities can buy into this platform and have an instance for their university.
YouTube shut one of our websites down, also our accounts. So we had a lot of information up there, and it's down and gone now. And but again, you know, these things, they're not going to be around to the other side. They're going to be broken up. These people have monopolized and have abused their power and authority, and they don't even have power or authority to begin with. I mean, what they're doing is unlawful all the way around from point one. But again, our lawsuit is not about money for people. Our lawsuit is about taking that money and for re-education of people, for free education for everyone. And
well,
that's
my problem
what
with the Get Set is that they threaten something like, you know, like my standing at the university or something. So, yeah, that was my problem with the Get Set is they like give me like a warning that, you know, where I could be like kicked out of the university, you know, and mm-hmm. So that was my problem with the Get Set thing. Like I've been kicked off platforms before. It wasn't the act of getting kicked off that upset me. Then the LinkedIn, you know, is the thing that I lost all those connections, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to get it included or somehow. And
well, look at your injury is a casualty of war. Okay, that's what your injury is.
Okay.
And you're not going to get justice on this side. And when I talk about this side and the other side, I'm talking about after the military does the arrest and things come back. But remember, you know, all of their monies and everything's going to be seized and somehow given back to the people. You know, everything that they have done, and all the money that they have made, they have turned into property and gold and silver and different other valuables. Okay, all that's going to be seized back. They control probably 80 or 90%, maybe even more, of properties, money, gold, silver, of the world. Okay, you know, the Rothschilds are just unbelievable, the amounts of money. The Rockefellers, the Warburgs. I mean, all of these people. These families, all of that's going to be seized. The Federal Reserve, all it's going to be seized. And the people of the world, not just the people of the United States, people of the world ultimately. This is becoming a worldwide thing. Trump has set the stage for not only for the United States to assist in other places to defeat this new world order in other countries. So the stage is set. Everything's ready. It's a matter of the timing whenever it happens. And when it happens, then people will be compensated. There's no reason for people, look at anybody who's got a mortgage, okay, it's going to be forgiven, I'll tell you right now. Any kind of money's owed to any institution is going to be forgiven. A lot of changes. I have a feeling electric will end up being free because there is a technology, the Tesla technology, that can give free energy. And I think that technology is going to be released and people will have free electricity. There's a lot of things. So people will be compensated, and there's lots of money to compensate people with, lots of money. Again, they control probably 80 to 90% of the wealth of the world. Remember that. So all that's going to come back to the people. They've been ripping us off so much, so long. You know,
yeah,
just
I mean,
think of how much money
anyone...
just the IRS alone has ripped off the American people.
Geez, yeah. I mean, I think LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft, so I haven't heard anyone doing class action against LinkedIn or Microsoft. And
yeah.
I also noticed, because I take backups from my Microsoft cloud onto, like, an encrypted drive here, because I don't trust the cloud, you know, because I think they could turn us off of that just the way they turn off our social media
accounts.
So I back it up.
Look at what
but
I
noticed some folders, like the folders that had all the material I post to social media was missing. It's like someone deleted it.
Well, look at anybody who has trusted any group of people to take care of their files up online in the cloud. That's crazy, okay? I do know that our website is saved up on the cloud, but it's also saved in hard copy, and because there's no way I trust that. And that was a decision with the technician, a technical decision. But look at the cloud. I personally never use that, and I never would, because I could forget. You know, look at, that's owned by the powers that be. It doesn't matter what corporation, you trace it down to the true ownership. And even if they don't own it, they'll take it anyway, because they're thugs. That's what they do. They seize things. They just take.
So, yeah, I'm just shocked that no one's included Microsoft in any of these big tech class
yeah,
actions.
But remember, all of these lawsuits, okay, the only one really making the real money out of this thing, especially when you get a lot of people involved in the lawsuits, are the lawyers themselves.
Yeah,
it's a con game to begin with, just another way. If you're going to sue, you need to sue them yourself. And if you don't know how to sue, go learn. We have courses, information on our website to teach you how to work the courts. But you have to work it properly. You have to work it from a perspective of the common law, and which they don't recognize, but that's okay. You can set the stage now, get your everything documented, and just, you know, put nails in their coffin by their response to the papers that you file. Because at the end of the day, when we get to the other side, that's when you're going to get justice.
So can you add joinder to the NLA case for Lincoln and Microsoft?
Well, we, you know, right now our focus, you know, is not so much on that kind of a thing. We went after those four different groups: Facebook, Google, YouTube, and Twitter, or what do they call it, Twitter? And we went to sue all of them for the sole purpose of what they've been doing, destroying people's information and preventing people to get educated and so on and so forth. And that is just for the sole purpose of to educate the people, not to put money in people's pockets. All the other cases that we've been doing, and it's somewhat selective, you know, because we can't do all these cases, different kinds of cases. But we do people who have a case where we can lay out the fact that they haven't had due process has been denied. Mortgages, particularly non-judicial mortgages, whether it be from the mortgage company or from the tax, and they take people's property away without any kind of due process. Okay, even people who've lost their homes, when we get to the other side, there's going to be justice for that. People who we've done habeas corpuses for and continue to be held in custody by these governments, federal government or state or whatever, and refuses to give them their day in court due process, well, look at, there's going to be compensation for those people on an individual basis for those kind of cases. Now, a big case, of course, is trying to get justice in the court, and we're going after the United States Supreme Court. Most of them need to be indicted. I think a lot of them will be indicted and in jail without us getting involved. But we're drawing a line in the sand, and these people have to step up and acknowledge the fact that we are a common law republic, and that they have no power or authority to make the decisions in the cases that they have been making decisions in, particularly when it comes to the people. Let's take, for instance, Roe versus Wade. They have no power or authority to stick their nose into the business of God's domain, God's jurisdiction. That's a court of law. That doesn't belong in a court of equity. It has nothing to do with legislation. That has to do with law. And law must go back into the common law court where the people decide what needs to be done. Okay? Not some group of lawyers. A lot of the cases that courts are involved in, they have no power or authority to be involved in them. Okay? They have the power to come after the people with USC 18, the penal code, trying to charge people with different things concerning their Second Amendment rights and different things. They just don't have that power or authority. But ignorance allows them to do it. So they're a de facto government or process or whatever you want to call it. Okay, I'm going to move on to the final comment.
They said Clarence Thomas is now the new Chief Justice.
No. It's still
that was like
Roberts.
A back-channel news.
Look, be careful of what you hear without documentation. Be very, very careful. there's a lot of stuff out there where people just say things and another person picks it up, and people are just believing the lie. Look, when it comes to serious things of this subject matter, we really need to know the facts and get the source and find out whether things are true or not. I can assure you that that's not how a Chief Justice is chosen. None of the existing judges will ever be chosen as a Chief Justice, to my knowledge. I'd have to look a little deeper into that, but I think it's the President who decides, first of all, by nominating. If a Chief Justice is replaced, okay, then the President will then nominate a individual for that position who is not a justice, not at the United States Supreme Court. And once that nomination is made, then they have to be approved by both houses, and once that approval goes forward, then they become the next Chief Justice. But they don't necessarily, I've never heard of a Chief Justice being chosen when one steps down or is removed. I've never heard of a Chief Justice being chosen out of any of the existing, justices. So I don't think that that's possible. I don't know exact for sure, though.
Do you think Roberts was removed?
I think Roberts is going to hang.
Yeah.
He hasn't been removed yet, but I think he's going to hang. There are certain people in power that I believe are going to hang.
Yeah.
Okay, any final statement before I move on? Because it's very late, and I want to get real quick to other people, okay?
Go on to the other people, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Cody, real quick, just a couple of minutes. I got one other person, and
Quick. Good evening. God, wouldn't that be awesome if we could hang some of these treasonous SOBs?
Well, they will be. Look, they're going to be done military tribunal. I'm telling you, they're in war.
I don't know. You're spreading that. I don't have much faith in criminals prosecuting themselves.
Well, that's not going to happen that way. It's going to happen militarily. I mean, if you haven't been following along with the things, then, yeah, you wouldn't see it.
Shouldn't it have happened under Trump if it was going to happen?
Well, it's still under Trump. Trump set the stage before he left. His whole purpose of his administration was to take down the deep state. And he has not finished the job. That's why he says the best is yet to come. And since he had the power and the authority to do this as president, even though he hasn't done it yet, believe me, that doesn't mean he hasn't done it. Put the things in motion. It's in motion. Right now, here's the bottom line, okay? And this may be hard for people to digest who are not familiar with where we get the news from. But right now we have two presidents, one de facto and one de jure. Okay, and the only de jure president is President Trump. And he's still having meetings, by the way, with his cabinet down in Florida.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing anyway.
I don't want to take too much of your time on that. I just wanted to check, and I bought a couple books in a way a year and a half ago, whenever you first started the project. And I hadn't checked my mail for about a week, but I hadn't gotten
it. Well, a lot of books just gone out. Have you bought two or four?
I bought two.
Okay, there's about four or five, maybe, I think seven. Seven people who bought two books, which I'm sending out. Let me think if they went out yet. I do have a few still left, I think. They'll be going out tomorrow if they haven't gone out. They should have gone out on Saturday because I just got the order in. And matter of fact, I'm almost out of books again. I got to order another 100 books. But I'm pretty sure, if you want to drop me your last name and email or something.
Yeah,
I'll look.
I'll send you an email.
But if you don't get it within the next, 7 to 8 days, just let me know. And we'll try to figure out where it's at.
I thought you'd sent all those out right away. You said you had 100.
Well, I did, but we're short. And we ordered another 300 books, and they're just about gone. And I'm ordering another 100 books. So,
sounds good. How many sheriffs have been...
I think it's 278. I sent an email out today, so
not
check your 10%. Email. And we did give a number. I think it's 278 or 279 sheriffs, which I'm a little depressed about that because we have 10,000 members and we've only got.
Let's do this. If you hadn't sent both of mine out, because I was just planning to hand deliver my book to sheriff, but maybe it's better if you deliver it with the letter and everything. I'll send you an email right now. Cody in Illinois, yeah. And just
yeah, just send it to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org, but address me inside the mail. Say, you know, okay. Dear John or John, and it'll catch my eye. But I'll see what's up with that. I did the ones I did send out, or the ones that are ready to go out. Either way, I did stick in a couple of letters, one from us and one from Sheriff Darr, and also a label that goes inside the book saying it's the property of the sheriff's office. So, and I wrote a little letter that if someone is that's ordered in two books or more, if you're planning on sending it to the sheriff, please insert, the insert and of and the two letters inside the book, and let us know what sheriff you're sending it to or giving it to, so we can advise you whether we've done that or not, and maybe give you some other names of sheriffs that you could give it to instead. You know.
Okay. Sounds good.
One way or the other, you'll get, if it's out, you'll have that paperwork in there anyway, and you can take it from there. Okay.
Sounds good.
But anybody who ordered a book, if you don't get it within the next, I'd say, 8 days or so, let me know, and we'll see what's going on with it. So. Okay? All right. Thank you. Let's take one other caller, last caller, and we're going to close down. We'll make this quick. Alberto, go right ahead. You got the mic. Let's make it quick. Still don't hear you. I know you were on a little earlier, and we couldn't hear you. We're not hearing any mic. It looks you're unmuted, so the mic is not muted. Now you're muted, so you just muted yourself. Star 6 to unmute yourself. Try that again. All right. Anyway, we're not hearing you. Maybe next week you can pick up the mic and make your statements and so on. All right, with that, we're going to end things. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Godspeed. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And we're going to pick up on our study here in on the jury, part 2 of 4, we'll be looking at next Monday. Thanks for coming. Good night.